you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm pissed today. I'm really upset. Donald Trump, man. Not many people get me pissed off, man. I was watching a debate, and this was a shit show. Just nothing but a shit show. It was a clusterfuck. Some people said it took a licking. Yeah, all they did was lick Donald Trump's ass. We're going to talk about that. Title of the show, Mad Bitch, Private Bone Spurs, Donald Trump. He calls for General Miley to be executed. That's the title. Outgoing chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Miley. He believes former President Donald Trump's recent suggestion that he deserves to be executed after speaking with the Chinese general during Trump's fraught final months in the office as part of a broader swipe at the U.S. military by his former commander-in-chief. And then we're going to talk about Halloween is coming. And we're going to tell you the truth about the Ouija board. And Linda Blair has an interview. I was really surprised who she dated. And we're going to listen to Linda Blair for a minute and the filming of The Exorcist too. And we're trying to get, in fact, we're trying to get Linda Blair on a show, and we have a good success. We'll do it to interview her. So it's going to be one of those good shows. Hope I can get to it. If the studio stays the way it is, which is 5111s and, of course, the beautiful psychic Pat Oberlin's here. If it stays the same without me getting sidetracked, we can get to everything. Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to come in, I'm going to give you the number, 319-527-6099. And for you slow people, 319-527-6099. We like slow people here. Come on in the studio. Let's say hello to one of our morning crews, the sexiest psychic in the universe. Good morning, Pat Oberlin.
Morning, dear.
How are you?
How are you?
You sound great. You sound marvelous.
Oh, I'm alive and kicking. Not high today.
Well, you'll be kicking like one of those, what are those called, those New York girls who kick high. What are they called? The chorus girls? That's how high you'll be kicking. You're doing good.
Yeah. Actually,
now,
I'm
Pat,
having
I know
a decent day.
Good. I know you're from Canada, and maybe you're not up on what's happening in the U.S., and I know a lot of people are not into politics. I know that. But this election will affect everyone, even our allies.
Oh, I know it will.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of news you guys are getting in international news. We have listeners in Sweden. We have listeners in China, Germany, Switzerland, Korea. I think it's South Korea, I hope. But we do. We are international. And sometimes I get letters, not letters, but I'll get a mention that, hey, I didn't know the USA was that fucked up. Thank you, Brian. You're welcome. It's my job to give the news. It's my job to give the news. That's what I do. And we're going to talk
about it is fucked up, honey.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what's really fucked up, the debate last night. My God, it was a shit show. Just shit everywhere. Everywhere. And if we get to it, five tricks how women can control men, if we get to it. Let's just start. Let us get going right now. According to ABC, these were the biggest moments and takeaways from the debate last night. Let's give a listen to this.
President hopefully took the stage of the Reagan Presidential Library going up to each other. And some also went up to Donald Trump for being a no-show, took some shots at Biden as well. Chief Washington correspondent John Carlos in Simi Valley with the highlights. Good morning, John.
Good morning, George. It was a loud and chaotic debate. With Donald Trump a no-show here at the Reagan Library, the other candidates spent most of the time going after each other, but at least a couple of them took their shots at Donald Trump, too. About 10 minutes into the debate, two of the candidates who were on the stage aimed their fire at the candidate who didn't bother to show up.
Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record, where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt. That set the stage for the inflation that we have.
Chris Christie taunted Trump over his refusal to debate.
Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
But that was the only mention in the entire debate of Trump's indictments. And there was no mention whatsoever of this week's ruling by a New York judge that Trump's company had committed widespread fraud. It was an unruly debate with the candidates often talking over each other. The moderators repeatedly had to plead for the candidates to follow the rules.
We cannot talk over each other. We must respect each other's time.
Businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, who harshly attacked his rivals in the last debate, tried to play nice this time.
These are good people on this stage.
But the others weren't buying it.
We think about the fact that Vivek just said we were all good people, and I appreciate that, because last debate, he said we were all bought and paid for.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley took aim at Ramaswamy for joining TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese tech company, after once calling it digital fentanyl.
This is infuriating because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
Haley also sparred with fellow South Carolinian Tim Scott, who she appointed to fill a vacant Senate seat when she was governor.
12 years. Where have you been? Where have you been? 12 years. We've waited and nothing has happened.
Here's what you've done.
12 years.
Trump spent the evening in Michigan speaking to workers at an auto parts plant, but he clearly, George, had the debate on his mind, telling workers, quote, that the candidates were running for a job in his future administration or perhaps auditioning to be his running mate.
Well, I guess I wonder if he has a point there, John. I mean, you look at the debate, and I wonder what the point of this debate is if, with the possible exception of Chris Christie right there, one mention of the indictments, no mention of the other candidates about the indictments, the civil lawsuits, the incendiary rhetoric where he's making death threats against people like the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I mean, Christie did take him on some of the substantive issues, took him on crime, on border, on his record, but it was remarkable how Trump basically got out scot-free, no major attacks on him from the other candidates besides, suggesting that he should have been there. The Trump campaign, for its part, has called on the RNC to cancel future debates and focus on Joe Biden. That's not going to happen. The big question is whether Donald Trump will show up at any of these.
And I think we know what the answer might be. Okay, John Carl, thanks very much.
Well, there
you
go.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here.
There you go. Pat, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my phone sounds dead. I can barely hear you. Let me see something.
Well, check the volume.
There you are. There you are, yes. Let me explain Donald Trump. Biden went to stand by the strikers who are striking for better wages, better conditions for the auto workers. He was in line with them. That's Biden. Trump pulled another bullshit scam. This fucktard went to an auto... Where did he go? Well, anyway, he was talking to auto workers. They were holding signs up about union workers for Trump. It was a non-union place where he went. Non-union. They asked, one of the reporters asked the people holding the signs about Trump for union. And they asked the reporters, are you union? They said, no. Are you an auto worker? No. They told us to hold the sign up. So another scam.
Yep.
So he went to a non-union place to say, but you should hear what he said. And I will play you what the motherfucker said. Basically, he told them they don't matter. It's not important about them getting money. He says, that doesn't matter. It matters only if you vote for me. That's basically what he said. I'll tell you what he said. You know, they talk about Biden not being there. I don't mind that. But when we have a sociopath, a crazy bitch, who is running for president of the United States, who sent out, says that our decorated general, Miley, should be executed. And NBC, he's going to go after NBC because they don't say good things about him. You're talking about a demented madman. A psycho bitch. And if you don't believe me, you'll listen. Am I pissed? You're damn right I'm pissed. And those... you sound so cute when you're sucking that straw. And those... Those little bastards, those little weenies at the debate. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Before I leave that, let me see if I got one. I got it. Okay, here's another one. CBS News is trying to break it down. It's for 3 minutes. Listen to this. This is their take on it.
Start to consolidate more power in Washington, D.C., consolidate more power in the executive branch.
This is where President Trump went wrong. He focused on trade with China. He didn't focus on the fact that they were buying up our farmland.
This guy has not only divided our party, he's divided families all over this country.
We welcome you back to CBS Mornings at 7:30. There were some choice words for the former President Trump in last night's second Republican presidential debate. He wasn't there, of course, and that's part of his strategy, it seems, to break down the debate. We are joined by CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent, that's Major Garrett, and Terry Sullivan. Got a new look these days, Terry Sullivan, a communications strategist, and Marco Rubio's campaign manager back in 2016. You've had the beard for a while. We just haven't seen you here for a while, so welcome, welcome, welcome back to the table. Guys, last night was described as chaotic, raucous, just a hot mess. Did anybody have a breakout moment to you? Major, start us off, please.
So, look, the idea of a breakout moment when Trump isn't there is an impossibility. It just doesn't happen. And even though there were some choice words, some criticisms of the former president at the margin, no one really took him on. If you'd watched that debate last night, you'd think the worst thing that former President Trump had done to America was not attend that debate.
Yeah.
I'd say there's a large swath of America that would think there are other things you might want to insert there.
Like,
January 6th would be one. What he said last week about reviving a 1798 law, let me repeat, a 1798 law, the Enemies Act, to begin the deportation of any non-citizen aged 14 or older suspected of any criminal activity.
Said
mass deportations.
Millie.
No one even brought that up in the immigration context.
What he said about
Mark Milley.
Yeah.
Calling for or implying that it would be necessary to kill a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Nobody brought that up either. So in that sense, breakout, if you're not really going to take him on, you're not breaking out. And there was an element of the debate that was just riddled with static. It's like for those of us who can remember what it was like to be in between stations on an AM radio, full-blown static.
Yes.
static. Yeah. Terry, what'd you think?
Yeah.
You know, look, a minute and 35 seconds, that's how much time was spent during the debate focused on Donald Trump.
That was it. Out of all of it.
A minute and 35 seconds.
Was focused on Donald Trump. Huh. It's almost like he's not the guy with 58% of the poll. And so this theory, you know, we had a crazy theory in 2016, a bunch of the campaigns running against him that, look, we can just consolidate the other vote. Like, we can ignore him and we can get the other 60% of the pie. That's what we need to do. And that might not have worked, clearly, but at least it wasn't delusional. What they're doing right now is delusional. They have got to take, regardless of what the issue is and what Republican primary voters care about, they've got to take the fight to Donald Trump, 100%.
But a lot of times they were snarking at each other.
Yeah. All the time.
The Haley-Tim Scott exchange surprised me. You know, Chris Christie made a crack about not Donald Trump, but Donald Duck. I don't think that landed so much.
Clearly, the screenwriter's strike like affected him as well. That was a terrible joke.
Yeah, that sounded much better in the green room.
It worked as a New York Post headline, though, I have to say. They've got a Where is Donald Duck headline. So, you know, I mean, sometimes
and look, let's also be clear. If any of those candidates who were on stage last night had the lead that Trump had, they wouldn't have been on stage.
Yeah, and Major.
They wouldn't have gone because they don't have to. Debates are a hassle.
Why would you? Why would you?
Anyone who knows that with the preparation, the time, they're a huge hassle.
I know.
If you're leading by 50, you don't show.
But, Nate, undefeated football teams don't get to sit out games.
Not the same thing. You're right about that.
But they would if they could.
If they could just skate to the championship game.
Right.
Let's talk about what the Republican voters are looking at because many things were covered, gun violence, education, immigration. But what is the main focus, do you believe, for Republicans?
The answer to that question is always, what do people go to when they're answering the question that they want to answer as opposed to the one that was posed to them?
Mm.
The answer last night is immigration.
Right.
Everything dials back to immigration. I thought it would be half immigration, half inflation. No. The default position is, I'm on immigration.
Mm.
What you didn't hear about last night was impeachment, the shutdown, anything like that. This chaos in Washington, except, I'm not Washington. But everything dials back to, and this those on the stage last night knew that the audience would be most receptive to a short, punchy answer on immigration.
And you saw that even in the first question. I completely agree with Major. On the first question where Tim Scott pivoted right back to immigration.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought Tim Scott actually had the best or the most improvement from the first debate to the second debate.
I thought you were going to say DeSantis because people thought he did not have a great night the first night.
Right. He had a much better, but Tim Scott did it like in the first 30 minutes, came out swinging, clearly not shaving. Was like gave him extra spunk, something I figured out a long time ago, but DeSantis did better too, but it wasn't until 10:30 at night.
Okay.
You know?
Major, before we go, do you mind telling us about your new podcast?
Yes.
I hear from reliable sources, it's quite good.
Available today, wherever you get your...
Okay, there we go. That sums up in a nutshell. This clusterfuck. This bitch. This traitor of the United States of America. The traitor of the United States of America who wants to change the Constitution. Who wants to get rid of education.
Just a second.
Who wants to go after our generals. Who wants to go after our communication companies because they don't like what they say about him. One who committed fraud, a rapist, and these are the good points about this guy. A rapist. Not only did the judge call him a rapist, he went back after the verdict. He went back on the air and he kind of took after the victim again, and she had to go sue his fucking ass again. Because he defamed her. You know, some rapists, you got to get credit. Some rapists has remorse. I'm sorry I raped you. I didn't hear no. Some rapists is like, I got a problem. I'm a mental ill guy. Some rapists is like, I took Viagra and my dick still stayed hard and I should have stopped. All right. Rapist excuse. But I never heard a rapist say, I raped her and it was good and I'll rape her ass again if I see her light on. Donald Trump went a little further and said that. Donald Trump said, the judge said, look, you're a rapist and you're guilty. Pay her. This fool got upset and called her names and a weirdo. And she took his ass to court again and won. We are not talking about a sane motherfucker. This guy is such a coward, such a bitch. such a shit stain on the United States of America.
Brian, I have to go for a minute.
Okay, kiddo. Thank you for coming in.
All right.
Thank you for coming in.
Okay.
And he's not funny anymore. He's not funny anymore. This is not a joke anymore. We're looking at a mentally ill, demented man-child who's a sociopath. It's not funny. This vote or this election will affect the people of the United States of America. And not to mention us, the world. This man is saying, don't give any more money to Ukraine. Only I can fix this war. And he wrote Putin a letter with lipstick on it and gave him a kiss. Guy. I have never seen anything. I mean, Hitler looks good compared to this fuck. So you want to talk about Biden being kind of confused? All right. Granted. Talk about Biden being confused. Do you want to talk about a sociopath who wants to execute our top general who's been decorated? You want to talk about a rapist who rapes a person in a dressing room? You want to talk about a guy who his wife just gave birth, but he's in bed with a porn star, and he pays $180,000 or whatever it is to her? Regular men don't pay that much money. You're lucky to get paid $55 that you have to pay $180,000. This woman, you are so disgusting. You repel these people that they had to raise the price to $100,000+ for you to even look at them. This is how disgusting you are, you piece of shit. This is a sociopath. Caustic man, bitch, child. Sociopath. So we're not going to talk about somebody being confused. We're not going to talk about that. Yeah, somebody being confused. And you don't have to be confused. You read the teleprompter. Sometimes you go off the teleprompter, you forget where you are, you come back, you look like an idiot. Okay. Granted, that's in. Valid. But he comes back to us in a minute. But then your other choice is a demented psychopath, sociopath. This guy, you know, and if you hear the beginning of the song, the theme song that I'll play, one of the lyrics is, I believe every lie. I believe something like that in the song. And Trump does. He makes up stories in his head. It's not a lie if you believe it. It's not a lie. And that's the problem. This demented fucker is believing his own shit. And you can't tell he's lying because he believes it. If you believe it, it's not a lie. Case in point, we're talking about General Milley. Jamali says Trump disrespected the U.S. military with execution comment. Outgoing chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Milley, believes former President Donald Trump's recent suggestion that he deserves to be executed after speaking with a Chinese general during Trump's fraught final month in the office. Trump goes after him on his stupid, even his shit is a lie. Truth Social. There's no truth in it, and there's no social in it, but that's the name of his thing. And he goes after your judges if he doesn't like what they say about him. This is who this demented fuck is. He was speaking, General Milley did a thing on 60 Minutes. I didn't get to see it. I'm going to play a little bit of it. I can read it, but I think it sounds better in his voice. Here he is, General Milley on 60 Minutes. It's only a minute and 48 seconds. Here we go.
President Trump recently said that your dealings with China were so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death.
That's right, he said that. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
He is suggesting that you be punished by death, the former commander-in-chief to his former top military advisor.
Look, I'm a soldier. I've been faithful and loyal to the Constitution of the United States for 44 and a half years. And my family and I have sacrificed greatly for this country, my mother and father before them. And, you know, as much as these comments are directed at me, it's also directed at the institution of the military. And there's 2.1 million of us in uniform. And the American people can take it to the bank that all of us, every single one of us, from private to general, we're loyal to that Constitution and we'll never turn our back on it no matter what, no matter what the threats, no matter what the humiliation, no matter what. If we're willing to die for that document, if we're willing to deploy to combat, if we're willing to lose an arm, a leg, an eye to protect and support and defend that document and protect the American people, then we're willing to live for it too. So I'm not going to comment directly on those things, but I can tell you that this military, this soldier, me, will never turn our back on that Constitution.
But for the record, was there anything inappropriate or treasonous about the calls you made to China?
Absolutely not. Zero. None.
It almost seems odd to ask this question because the former commander-in-chief seems to be calling for your execution. Are you worried about your safety?
I've got adequate safety precautions. I wish those comments had not been made, but they were, and we'll take appropriate measures to ensure my safety and the safety of my family.
Let's be straight here. I know we have wars, and I know there's threats overseas or international ISIS, whatever, and they threaten our presidents all the time or U.S. all the time. But we never, never had to hit some head of government, especially a former president, threaten people that they have to have guards standing there and afraid of their lives. Think about that for a minute. We have bone spurs who try to get out of the Army because he doesn't want to serve. He once said he doesn't believe in the military. One time he said that you have to be really stupid to join the military. That's from Trump. And he cried and everything until he got out of the draft. Went after our most decorated Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Miley. That he has, the man who served America for most of his life, died for America. By the way, Trump calls them stupids. Who would do that? And he has a nerve. Trump should not even be in the same sentence as Mark Miley. But this shithead, this demented, psychotic fuck, has a nerve to cause havoc, and that this man who protected us, a general, by the way, has to have security protect him because Donald Trump called for his execution. You have to really think about this. Who does that? If any of you guys out there listening to me said something about, you know, harm to former President Dickhead, you would get a knock on the door with the FBI. You would be on some kind of watch list. You would be watched. But the former Dickhead, or former President Dickhead Trump, can call for his cultist people to cause harm to citizens and military personnel because he doesn't like what they said. We just did a thing with, was it Hutchinson? I think her name was Hutchinson, yesterday, the new whistleblower. And she has a book out called Enough. Well, he didn't like what she said and called her a whore. Your former president called her a whore. A whore. This is who this guy is. Codic fuck. And again, I have to keep going back and forth. I know you're tired of hearing me go back and forth. I know. It's like, easy, Brian. I know. Take some warm milk. Go to sleep. Take a nap. Take a pill. Easy. No. We have to have the anger that we had at 9/11. Remember that anger at 9/11? We wanted to go after them who hurt us. We wanted to go after them who killed us. We want to go after them who took down our towers. We wanted to do that. Remember that anger, that rage? Well, it's just, we got to have that same rage with Donald Buck. We got to have that rage. We got to see what the future is holding for America. Because if this fuck gets his way, Putin will take you. Who do you think? Putin is already doing, chats and the bots, and they're already doing, trying to interfere with the election right now. They're rooting for Trump. Putin is rooting for North Korea to help him as the cavalry. And he's rooting for Donald fuck Trump to help him with Ukraine. That's a fact, Jack. And I guess maybe Putin is teaching him, because only a Russia would go after someone in another country and try to kill them, which Putin did recently. You heard the story, right? I don't know if I even played it. The story goes, it was a sunny day in the park. There was a guy on a bike, and he strolls in the park. Bottom line, I'm not going to make it salacious. I'm going to tell you this story. The guy pulls out from his bicycle a gun and shoots the man in the back and shoots him twice in the head. It was an execution. And then the guy had the nerve to throw the gun in the river, his bike in the river, change clothes, change his beard and everything. Then he has a power scooter and gets away on a power scooter, but we got him. Putin did this execution. Now that I'm thinking about it and I'm talking to you guys, it's kind of a coincidence that Putin did a hit on somebody maybe 3 days ago, and then Trump all of a sudden calls for an execution of our major general. Put it together. It's not that hard. I'll do it for the slow people. Trump executed this speech about our general. Put it together. It's not that hard. So as soon as that happened, all of a sudden Donald Trump comes out with, we got to execute our general. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Are you thinking Trump saw what happened? It was in the news. It's called, one headline says, Putin wants his hitman back. One headline says that. Google it, you'll see it. So is this a coincidence how this man thinks? He loves Putin so much, he would get in bed with him. He would get in bed and make love to Putin and fuck the United States of America. That's this guy's thinking. So when I say you got to get angry, you got to. He is no more the clown that we laugh at anymore. This might be the second coming of the devil. This might be where Notre Dame said that the devil is coming and he will wreak havoc on, there's three of them. One he named was Hitler. I forgot the other one, but the third one might be Donald Trump. I'm not joking. I'm not playing. This is fucking serious, man. This is fucking serious. He's no more the guy that a failed game show host, the guy who lies about his wife, the guy who's fucking somebody who pays her $180,000 or something because he's so disgusting she raised the price because he says, look what I have to sleep with. Why his wife just gave birth. Calling a woman a whore. Raping another woman in the dressing room. Putting fraud in the United States of America. Going after NBC, CBS, anybody who says anything bad about him, wants to get rid of the Constitution. He even had a confused moment where he thought he was running against Obama. When he said that, oh, yeah, when I ran against Obama. You didn't run against Obama, fool. We are talking about a serious mental illness that fuck Donald Trump has. And somebody really has to pay attention to this shit. We're talking about a guy who's going, we got Biden in line with the strikes, and he pretends that said he's going to talk to the auto workers, and he goes to a non-union, and the strike is about union, but he goes to a non-union place, plays some signs, another scam, in some people's hands about Trump for union, and when the reporter asks for people holding the signs, they said, no, we don't belong to the union, and we don't know anything about auto workers, we're not there. Because to him, this is a movie. This is about showmanship. This is one demented, psychotic fuck. And we have to pay attention to it. And we have to get mean. None of that millennial bullshit or that Gen Z or whatever fuck. The only way that we're going to get this country back the way we want it is we go old school on its ass. You put back in the baby boomers because, bam, that's what's going to take this country back. None of this, let's look the other way, let's turn the other cheek, and let's not say bad things about people. Kumbaya bullshit. We got to get mad. We got to get angry. Remember what happened at, you think 911 was a catastrophe, a horror show? Trump's going to make 911 look like a birthday party, what he would do to this nation and what he would do to you and what he would do to anybody who speaks out against him. I don't have to say that. You got to fucking open your eyes. I don't want to use the thing get woke. I'm not saying that bullshit, but you see it. Remember when they were saying that when we had the terrorists and they're saying, if you see something, say something? Well, you're seeing it. Say something, motherfuckers. You're seeing this shit. Not only are you seeing this shit, the world is seeing this shit. And they're looking at us going, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Where's your honor, USA? Where's your honor? You have. You gotta get pissed. You gotta get angry. You gotta want, if you love America, don't tell me you love America and you want to burn down the Capitol. That's like saying I'm a gentleman, and when your back is turned to cook a pie, you pull down her panties and you dog her right there and with her head in the oven as you go up and down. That's not being a gentleman. Gotta get mad. You gotta get angry. And you gotta vote. You gotta vote. And you gotta pull, I don't care what party you're from. If you wanna rebuild the Republican Party, you gotta do it with ground up. You gotta explode the motherfucker. Get rid of these people who are, you know, who are hospice people. And get some new blood in there and move America forward. If you want your party to, you want your party to go down in flames, you go ahead and elect Donald Trump. Because you know in your heart what's going to happen. And, you know, we had something on our show one time. That what's worse, and we have interviewed, and I'm going to start interviewing again, but you go, what's worse? What's worse is when I have people on a show, and I have this thing, and I got to be very careful about it. They'll write a book about child molestation. And we'll interview them. I've been on the air for over 10, 11 years, and I'll interview them. And they're talking about it. But then you ask them, when did this happen? Oh, 20 years ago. Okay. I'll let them sell their book. That's what they're here for. My job is to say, hey, this is your book. But inside, I'm a volcano. Because here's how I view life. If you know, just bear with me. We're getting back to Donald Trump. Just bear with me. If you know that this motherfucker is molesting children and you wait 20 years to come out with it, This motherfucker has 20 years of hurting innocent children and kids. What's worse, you keeping it quiet while this guy can continue his savagery and his whore thing and hurting children? And then you call yourself a hero after 20 years, you write a book, and you tell him who he is? What is worse, the rapist or the child molester or the person who knows he's a child molester and let him keep on doing it to other innocent kids and ruin their life? You decide what's worse. And I say the same thing with Donald Trump. What's worse, you know what he's doing. You hear what he's saying. You march against the Capitol, you got your, and for Donald Trump, and you got your ass caught. One person got shot in the head. Other people are in jail right now. And you know what? They're probably not bad people. I don't care if they're racist. I don't give a fuck about that. You have the right to be a racist in the United States of America. Don't come to me with racism and think racism is going to shock me, because this is what we fought for. We fought for you to be racist, you motherfucker. So don't give me, well, they're bad people because they're racist. Right? Shut the fuck up. They're allowed to be racist because this is the United States of America, and you have free will, and you're free. And people, black and white and brown, have fought for that, for you to be a racist bigot motherfucker. So don't come to me saying that you're racist, Brian. But you see what's happening with this motherfucker. You see it, and I use that example because you see what is happening. You see it with your own eyes. You hear it with your own ears, what he is doing and how he's attacking people and how these people, if anybody speaks against him, that they have to have security like some mafia bosses coming after them to hit them. Because he got weak mind motherfuckers out there right now. They're little zombies running around because they have no mind. Trump is a sponge in there and put shit there because, like Trump says, hey, if you believe it, it must be true. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Now, I know some of you guys are in the car. The number is 319-527-6099. You agree with me? Come on in the studio. You disagree with me? Come on in the studio. We'll be right back because we're getting to the heat. This is nothing. This is just a prelims. We're getting to the main game coming up. We're getting to it. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. Please come in the studio, and we'll be right back after this small break.
Sitting next to you, but after all I said, please don't forget.
I guess it's going to be a real short show today because basically we're more than halfway done. But I'm not kidding. You see what you see. You want to be loyal to a Republican Party? There is no Republican Party. It's a Trump Party, and you know it. These people are not, when they're doing this debate, these people are not trying to be president of the United States. They're trying to buy for second place. Continuing to break down from the Republican debate on CBS.
Podcast, Agent of Betrayal. What is that about? Ooh. It's about the life of Robert Hansen, the most damaging spy in FBI history. A veil of contradiction. Someone who was at work in the FBI, virulent anti-communist all the time, handing off our most secrets to the Soviets during the Cold War and after the fall of the Soviet Union. I've been working on it for 2 years. This project was launched during the depths of lockdown. My team and I have put it together. 50 interviews, more than 80 hours of tape.
Wow.
I guarantee you, I don't say this about myself. All of you know I'm kind of on the low self-promotion side.
That is true.
This is really good.
This is really good. As you said that, a little bit of laughter from the green room. I don't know. Is your producer?
My TV stand is on the low end self-promotion. Let us
no,
clarify.
It is true.
Let us
thank
clarify.
You. Thank you very much, Major Terry. Okay. Always good to see you. Thank you both. Major's new podcast, have you heard? Agent of Betrayal is available today wherever you like to listen to your podcast.
There you go. There you go. I want to play you something. This is so while they were having a debate. I wonder if I have it up. Yeah. While those cowards and those little silly people were debating that clusterfuck show was a shit show, Donald Trump decided to go to the United Auto Workers. I mentioned it before. Biden was in the line with the the workers, the auto workers, the picket line. And he was with them, walked with them, supported them. Donald Trump decided, well, he has to do something, so he went. And I already told you what happened.
What happened to the voters?
He went. And but they weren't union. They were non-union. They held up union signs, which it was not true, because when a reporter asked them, they said they were not members of the auto workers. They didn't work for the auto people. And they were not union people. Another scam. That was recently. Here's this fool last night. Listen to him. And listen to what he says when he says it doesn't matter about the money. It doesn't matter. It only matters about me. Listen to this fool, because we are really looking at a demented motherfucker. This is not funny anymore. The clown has just went psycho. The only thing that's missing with Donald Trump is the makeup and the balloon. That's the only thing that's missing. That's the only thing that's missing from this fool. This was him yesterday, because he skipped the debate. Listen to this.
In Houston, Texas, we take tar now from Venezuela. Venezuela was supposed to be the bad guys. Venezuela's getting rich. We're refining their tar. And we're not taking our beautiful, beautiful stuff. We have the best stuff, but we have the most. We have more than Saudi Arabia, more than Russia. We were energy independent, and we were going to make...
Spoken like a true retarded three-year-old. We got the best stuff. We got the best stuff. You used to be the bad guys. But we got the best stuff. Here's a trick that you can do. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. I'll play around with it later. That you can make them sound drunk. And people are doing it. I think it's the funniest shit. But I don't think I can do it right here. I don't think I can do it, but it's funny as shit. All right, let's continue listening to the entity Donald Trump.
Our fortune, and we were going to sell it to Europe. We were going to pay off our debt. We were going to lower taxes still further. It's amazing. And then these people came in, and they have no clue, or they have a clue, which is even more dangerous in a certain way.
Right now, electric cars don't go far enough, and they're just far, far too expensive, and people aren't going to be able to afford them. And the cost of operation is also much more. This is their option, though, if they want them. It's their option, and it's an option that some people will take, and I am all for them, but I will not allow, under any circumstances, the American automobile industry to die. I want it to thrive, and to thrive like never before. So we're here today at Drake Enterprise, a beautiful place. They gave that this place is beautiful. Come on, let's go. I got to go fast. It's all over television, this speech. You know, we're competing with the job candidates. They're all running for a job. No, they're all job candidates. They want to be in the, they'll do anything. Secretary of something. They even say VP. I don't know. Does anybody see any VP in the group? I don't think so. No, we're, that's right. Can you imagine? They don't have a crowd like we have. When you look at the thousands of people outside that couldn't get in, why didn't you build a bigger plant? I'd like to. But we're here today at Drake Enterprises, a family-owned and operated Michigan auto parts supplier that has been manufacturing in America for over 70 years, right? Drake was founded by a great man in 1952, Benny Stempel, right? Benny, we love Benny, your father, your grandfather, an American man, the deceased American man with a big American dream. He had a big, big, beautiful dream. Benny started with just four people and soon came to dominate the production of gear shift levers for trucks. Today, the company produces transmission components, driveline components, engine components, and car parts were...
So now, he's talking about his sponsors now. We love Benny. Benny's dead. You don't know no Benny. Shut the fuck up, stupid. But let me just pitch my sponsorship right now, who brought me into this little place right now, who's a non-union, which is a non-union company. Oh, Benny's not that great of a guy. If Benny was that great a guy, he would take care of his workers. He would go unionized. But no, Benny's non-union. Let's keep the cost down. Let's not give the workers their benefits. Yeah, we love Benny. You got the floor, fucktard.
Every one of the Detroit Big Three, so I won't tell them I said bad things about them in your place, okay? I just want them to fight for what's right. It's common sense. But tonight I was honored to meet Benny's son, Lee, and Lee's children, Nate and Heather. Thank you very much. That's great. Beautiful family. Nate and Heather say their vision for this company is to prove that the American dream is still alive for their employees like it was just for their granddad, who was so wonderful. So Lee, Nate, and Heather, we're going to help you get that job done, okay? And I want to congratulate you on three generations of American auto parts proudly made in Michigan. We love
them. How pathetic. How pathetic. You were talking about policy and what you're going to do, but no, you're spending 3 minutes in Benny and the Jets, Benny and his little stupid family, his little stupid kids. But you have to do it because it's your sponsor. It's your sponsor. I return you back to Dickhead.
Great feeling for Michigan. Bad things are happening in Michigan. Your crime rate's through the roof. You got a lot of businesses moving out now. It's unbelievable. Not even believable. Today, nearly 100% of Drake's business is producing components that go into vehicles with internal combustion engines, the very product that Joe Biden and the radical left Democrats and fascists, Marxists, now they want to make them for whatever reason.
What are they? Are they fascists? Are they Marxists or whatever the fuck they are? Boogeymen? Minutemen? Let's get this straight. We're trying to get away from what I understand, and so somebody corrects me. away from fossil fuel, away from being dependent on other countries, but away from oil, by the way. I live in California. We got $7 a gallon here. Now, it's true, there's no good ending to this because you say, okay, let's go with EVs, you know, electric vehicles. Well, that'll get us away from being dependent on foreign oil. Yes. But then we're in the hands of the Chinese because they make the batteries of the EV. So pick your poison. You want to get away from oil, fossil fuel. You want to give the Arabs a big middle finger because they're raising the price of barrels of oil because I'm paying $7 a gallon in California? Or do you want to go electric vehicle? Give the big finger, fuck you, Arab nation. Fuck you. But let's go to electric vehicles. And the Chinese says, fuck you, Americans, buy the battery from us. My enemy's enemy is now my friend. Is that what we're doing? Let's go back to shithead.
Illegal. Figure that one out. And yes, it's true. Today's radical Democrat Party wants to legalize drugs, shoplifting, and sexual mutilation of your children, but they want to allow your gas-powered Suburban, Silverados, and...
We what? I'm a Democrat. What do we want to do? We want to legalize sexual mutilation of children? What do we want to do? Listen to this. Now, I told you the minute psychopath, a sociopath, and he's saying that, what is he saying? What in the hell? And I want you to listen to what he's saying. Listen to this.
You can't buy an electric car. If you want to buy an electric car or a hybrid or an all gas, you have to come. They said, no, we want to come. They want to come. And they don't want to come to keep me from falling either. They to make them, for whatever reason, illegal. Figure that out. I want choice in schools and in the purchase of...
I'm trying to get back to what he said.
I want choice in schools.
Wait a minute. I have to get back to what he said, and I can't find it anymore. But it was so important to me to hear what he said about Democrats, about... what they said. So I have to start it again.
Vehicle mandate. And I will cancel every job-killing regulation that is crushing American auto workers. He puts your children last. That's going at the top of my list. You take the military out last. So tell your UAW leadership, no problems with them, but they have to endorse Trump, because if they don't, all they're doing is committing suicide, and honestly, you don't want that to happen, because they're committing suicide on the back of your jobs, and you can't let that happen. The Democrats, as they wave the white flag of surrender over your future to other foreign countries, you can't have it done. So, if you could speak to Sean, he's listening right now, I'm sure. Sean, endorse Trump, and you can take a nice two-month vacation, come back, and you guys are going to be better than you ever were.
Apparently I can't find it. It won't let me go back that far. But it just starts here with the military. Let me see if I can forward this, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But let's continue to listen to this idiot.
Electric vehicle mandate. And I will cancel every job-killing regulation that is crushing American auto workers. I will unleash a thing called American energy, stop the ban on the internal combustion engine, and we will drill, baby, drill, and we will make zero environmental difference. It will have zero environmental difference, zero. In fact, if anything, it's probably cleaner than what they're doing. But it'll save your family a yearly fortune and give you a much better way of life. You're losing your way of life. I will then go to every foreign country where we're paying billions and billions of dollars for their military defense, as I was doing before, and tell them that if they do not massively increase their purchases of Ford, Chevys, GMs, and Jeeps, our troops are packing up and we're coming home. You got to buy our products. You got to buy our products. And that's going to be the least of it. And if we can afford to send hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, then we can afford to have an auto industry that pays our workers a good living wage and keeps our workers working. Having a vibrant car industry is far more important than almost anything we can do for a very important thing called national security. We need a rebirth of loyalty in this country. To that end, we will bring back a very beautiful word, protection, financial protection. You're going to be protected financially while we still have the power to do it, you know?
You know, when you're a shop owner and a guy named Vinny comes to your shop, forget about it. So Vinny comes to your shop and says, Mr. Smith, yeah, I am Vinny No-Nose. Hello, Mr. No-Nose. Looks like you need some protection. I don't need no protection. You need some protection. Some protection from us. Because we'll burn this shop down if we don't get paid. What's the difference of what he just said about financial protection? Listen carefully what this dumb fuck is saying.
There's a run on our currency. They want to take away our currency standards. If that happens, that's the worst thing to happen in our country's history. It'll put us in a much different position. But take a look at what's happening. Countries are leaving our standard. In reality, protectionism never truly went out of fashion. Our corrupt politicians just stopped protecting American jobs and workers, and they started protecting the jobs and workers in China and Mexico, Germany, South Korea, Indonesia, Thailand, and Vietnam, many other countries too. Under the Trump presidency, patriotic protectionism will be the new American way. We want to be protected. That's what we have our government for. We want protection.
That's right. Our ally is going to have to pay for protection. Because if you don't, we're going to move our troops out. You got to pay. And paying is buying American stuff. His stuff with his name on it. Protection is what it's about.
Stop the crime in our cities, and we're going to stop the crime in our country. And we're not going to be nice about it. We're not going to be nice about it. That means protecting our workers, protecting our wages, protecting our jobs, protecting our industries.
That's called union. That's what they do. But you're speaking at a non-union place where non-union workers aren't, and they're not getting paid enough as they should, and they have no protection at all. Go ahead, you little scammer. Talk your bullshit. It's all about protection. You got to have protection. If you don't pay, we'll take away your security. We'll take away your shit. Unless you buy USA. And what does that make us look like internationally? When I said that this psychopath, sociopath, dumb retard, coward, a traitor of America is speaking, you got to listen.
Protecting our communities and protecting our great, something you don't hear about very much anymore, a great American dream. We had an American dream. You don't hear about that with this guy. This guy walks up yesterday, looks like he's going to fall over standing in front of some people. Looks like he's going to fall over. This is not a leader. The whole world is laughing at us. They respected your leader. Whether you like your leader or not, they respected your leader. They said, we're not going to mess. We're not going to mess. Upon taking office, I will impose an across-the-board tariff on foreign-made goods. I will also pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. That means that if China or any other country makes us pay a 100 or 200 or 300% tariff or tax, we will make them pay a reciprocal tariff of 100, 200, or 300%. What could be more fair? Right? What could be more fair?
It's Translation, your iPhone will now cost $3,550. Thank you. Your buildings that you live in, some of the construction that's going on in your neighborhood right now, the big buildings, the corporate, the auto, the electric cars, well, now that'll be $50,000, thanks to Bonehead here. You got to pay for protection.
I will revoke China's most favored nation. Can you believe they have a most favored nation status? Because they say we are a developing nation. Well, we're a developing nation, too. When you look at our cities, we're developing. We're developing in the wrong way. They are doing the worst job. Democrat mayors, Democrat governors. And we will impose stiff penalties on China and other trade abusers. Foreign auto parts manufacturing will be among our first targets. We're going to bring it home from China and other foreign countries on a very grand scale. That's you, McGee. All right? That's you. And because we want all Americans to win and win big from these policies, we will insist that as tariffs on foreign countries go up, because they tariff us crazily, and then we have these stupid people, some congressmen, some senators, that say, no, sir, we shouldn't tariff them, but they're tariffing us. Doesn't matter, sir, it's free trade. I say, is this guy okay? But when those foreign countries tariff us, taxes on American workers, which is really what it is, small businesses and middle-class families, we will be doing the same to them, and you will watch things happen that you won't even believe. For one thing, you're going to bring back jobs at levels. You know, China, they put a big tax on us when we sell a car, a truck, or anything. And they say to the American companies, we don't want your trucks from America. Come over and build a plant over here. So they're building plants all over China. How stupid is it? We should do the same thing. And we started doing the same thing, and we were doing the same thing. I gave you the largest tax cut in the history of our country.
Translation, he didn't give you a large tax cut. None of you guys, none of you morons got tax cuts. He gave it to the rich, not you. Not you. Welcome back, Pat. Welcome back.
Hi, dear.
My job is to let people know they got to get angry. Our allies got to get angry. I go back, well, we're going back to the buffoon, the clown of the United States of America, the clown, the fool. The fool. And I know this is tiring for you. It's almost over. We're going to get to the Ouija board. We're going to get to the spirits, I promise you. We're going to get to the relationship people, I promise you, about how five things, how women can control a man. We'll get to that. That's your meat and potatoes. Because you don't care about this guy, do you? If you're a Democrat, you don't care. You hate him. Okay, fine. If you're a Republican, you fear him. Okay, fine. And when you see the polls are even, or some of them have Trump up by 10%, you don't care. You don't care. No. But you better, and you need to get angry. You don't. You can't afford not to care. Our allies should get angry. Our neighbors should get angry. Canada should get angry. They should get angry. They should not stand by and watch this. We're doing the best. I don't know if we're doing the best we can. I don't know. And if the American people are not doing their job and keeping a psychopath, a psychotic idiot out of the White House, maybe they should put pressure on the United States saying that we can't deal with this. We're not going to pay for protection. You know, we're not going to pay for protection. We'll leave. We'll leave NATO. We'll leave everything. You're on your own. And we're not going to pay. We're not going to be held up like some mafia, TV failed star.
Because, like I said, you got to pay attention. You got to get angry. You need to get angry. No more being complacent. That's right. I use big words, but I don't do it often. I use it when I'm pissed. Because if you listen to my show, I'll make fun of myself. I'll say, what's this word? But I know what the word is about because it's a bit. But we can't be complacent anymore. We have an enemy. We are sleeping with the enemy. And he's not sleeping with us. He's banging a porn star. Do you ever notice, where's Melania? You ever notice these things throughout history when the presidents get in trouble, the first lady's always standing beside him. Hillary stood beside Bill. Mrs. Bush stood beside Mr. Bush. You notice that Melania, he's doing these speeches, getting off the plane. You know he's doing it alone because she doesn't want to have anything to do. She doesn't even want to sleep with this dick. And she doesn't want, literally, she doesn't want to sleep with him. She lives in, you know, how can you trust a guy who can't even, I can't believe I'm going to say this. If you can't even manage your own relationship, how can you manage government? You got to listen to him. Open your ears. You got to get angry. I'm angry. I'm angry as fuck. Now, that's angry. You know, when you put as fuck on any word, it's really pissed. It's really angry. I'm angry as fuck. This show is sponsored by the well-known worldwide Patty's Bakery. Pat O'Brien Bakery. I want to thank our sponsors, Patty Bakery, Home of Patty Cakes, Specialty Devil Food. Her bakery has made a lot of people calm the fuck down, and that's one of the that's on the menu. And you have this, like you have appetizer, there's a little section that says, calm the fuck down. And in that section, there's gummies, shrooms, and maybe she'll sprinkle
you
a little cupcake.
You should be promoting Ellen.
Ellen's an idiot. She's
why?
An idiot. She's an idiot because Ellen doesn't promote herself. Anybody who doesn't promote themselves is an idiot. Is an idiot. She's lazy and she's an idiot. You know.
Oh, no.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. You call me on a good day when I read my cards. You call me on a really good day. Ellen used to
can't
be my
read
executive.
Right now.
Good. You wouldn't want to see those cards. Ellen used to be my executive producer who was an idiot. Did idiot things. She's no longer my executive producer. She now works at Walmart. And that's what happens. If you can't hang with the entertainment industry, if you can't hang with the music industry, if you can't do business as business, get out of the way. Because there's a lot of other people out there who are good enough, strong enough, who went to school enough, and can take you there. Don't be an idiot. Because if you do, you'll be working at Walmart. Thank you. You got to get angry. You got to care. You got a business. Your business is your life. In fact, your business, hang in. I'm not taking a side road. I'm tying everything in. Just hang in there. Donald Trump's a businessman. He is not a human being. Businesses do not have heart. They don't. They have what they call the bottom line. You're in and you're out. In the United States, you can't afford to make mistakes. So, and most people's relationship, they will choose their business over their relationship. To be honest with you, they will die for their business, but they won't die for their husband or their wives. They will do things for business that they won't do what your husband and wife will do. Because that's who you are. If you're in business and you love what the business is and what you do, because that's who you are. And that's who Donald Trump is. So when you knock Donald Trump and you call him a loser or you call him an idiot or you call him a psycho butt fucker, Well, you're not calling him that. You're calling his brand that, and he can't afford to have – he doesn't – that's why Donald Trump says he doesn't lose. That's why Donald Trump says, you know, the election is rigged. I didn't lose. Because if he loses, it's not just Donald Trump loses. His brand loses, and that loses millions of dollars. You got to get inside his head. This is what he's thinking, and this is what it is about. Okay. So if you – so this is Donald Trump, the businessman. So if he's losing, that means his brand loses. That's what is. That's plain and simple. This is why this guy does what he does. Even though he did fraud in New York, and they're going to take away his LLCs, and they're going to take away all his other stuff, and he can't do business in New York anymore. Donald Trump's going to go after the judge who said that. He's going to go after the judge who said that he doesn't make as much as he makes. He's going to go after the judge who says that his property is not valued as high as he wants it to be. Because if you say that, that's telling you that Donald Trump the brand is not successful. That's why he fights so hard. I don't like dumb fuck Donald Trump. But I know who he is. And when you own a business, and Pat, let me tell you something. I love you dearly, and you know I love you. You know I love you, and I'm saying I love you dearly. And we had an incident, and hang in there, we're getting back to Donald Trump. We had an incident that offended me on the show, but it was not my place. It was yours. And you did it so well. You did it so well. When we had one person that come in the studio and told you that what you're doing is witchcraft and dark magic and bad and you should get out of the business and why are you taunting the evil spirits and you should do something else because this is not right. You know what I'm talking about, Pat? You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And this fool, I'm listening to this fool, and then I have to think, should I jump in? And then I said, no, I'm not going to. Because if Pat cares about what she's doing and this is who she is, I want you to correct me, Pat. Hang on. I'm getting to Donald Trump. Just hang in there. I'm talking about, and this has to do with Donald Trump, too. You know, Pat, it's not just what you do as a business. It's what you do as who you are. And correct me if I'm wrong.
It is who I am.
Okay. Thank you. So when somebody's telling you how bad what you're doing, or this is disgusting, or this is witchcraft, or this is bad, saying all the stupid things that stupid people say. He's not just talking about your job. He's talking, you're taking it like he's talking about you, because this is who you are. Am I correct?
That's right.
And this is what you're getting with Donald Trump. Hang in there, Pat. I'm going to go right with you, and I'm really proud of you. And this is what Donald Trump is. It's not that Donald Trump failed in this policy or Donald Trump failed at this. Donald Trump is not taking that as this is what I failed at. Donald Trump is taking it personally, like this is who he is, and if he failed here, then he's a failed man. This is why he fights so bad, and this is why he lies so much, and this is why he doesn't lose, because he can't afford to say he failed, because it's not his business that failed, it's he who failed, because he is his brand. Do anybody get it as much as I do? So when they went after Pat, I had to have a decision to say, do I step in, do I step out? Do I protect my patty? And I decided, and here's what I said. Pat could take care of herself. And here's what I said to myself. If Pat is passionate about what she does, she will take care of herself. She will stand up herself. Is Pat going to, this is the pussy moment. Is Pat going to be a pussy? Or is Pat going to stand up for herself and who she is? And now is the moment that we all have. Are we going to be pussies? I mean, Donald Trump is so much of a pussy, I want to fuck him. Okay, let's scratch that.
That was the day was the character Mr. Solution was attacking.
It was Solution. It was Mr. Solution.
Yeah.
And Pat paused, and she fought. She fought back. She stood up for who she was, what her belief was, and all about everything, which that idiot was saying was all wrong because it had nothing to do with witchcraft. It had nothing to do with this. It had nothing to do with nothing.
But
Pat stood her ground. Exactly. Pat stood her ground, and she believed in what she believed in, and she fought back. At that moment, I was so proud of her. I know she's taken – and John loves her so much, she loves John, but at that moment I wanted to rip off her clothes and kiss her breasts. For no reason at all, because I was so proud of her. Things I say. I was just that proud. I'm so proud of you. But Pat,
I always
it's like
back, honey.
But how did you feel when somebody, and this goes with, and I'm trying to get you guys in the head of Donald fucktard Trump. I'm trying to get you in the head, his head, because when a person has a business and they're serious about a business, it's not about the business. It's who they are and what they are. The business is secondary, mm-hmm. and they want it to be successful. If the business is successful, they're successful. If the business failed, they're failed, because that's who they are. Their heart's in it. You asked about Ellen. Ellen has to have no heart in her business. Ellen has a hobby. She has a hobby. And you could tell the hobbyist, you could tell a hobbyist than a professional business person, and I get them all the time. When they come on the show, I will interview them. I can tell if they're a hobbyist or if they're serious authors. I can tell within 30 seconds. How many books have you written? Well, I'm thinking about writing another one, but I don't know. Hobbyists. I'll ask another author, how many books you wrote? Oh, I've written 4 books, Brian. I'm starting another one. I'm working on a book called Horror Stories. Professional. Not the person who wants to write a book because they're bored and they don't know anything about it. One time we interviewed a person who wrote a book about child abuse and sexual abuse, really graphic book. As I started interviewing this predator, we found out that she was the predator. We found out that she was with her sister and she was molesting her sister in the interview. We found out that not only did she molest her sister, she molested the boy next door. This was the author coming on my show promoting sexual abuse. And I hear it all the time. Hey, Brian, go easy on the interview. Hey, Brian, you can't say that. Hey, Brian, you went overboard. Hey, Brian, you went too far. No, I don't go too far. Because if you're going to write a book about sexual abuse, you better damn well be accurate and you better damn well be truthful and not just trying to get – and my job is to say, is this a credible author? Because people are wanting to buy this book, and if you're saying bullshit like, you know, blah, 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 sexual abuse, and we find out that you are the abuser, you are the rapist, and that's not in the book. I did my job, and doing the job is because I asked the stupidest questions, the darkest questions, the embarrassing questions, the out-of-the-earth questions that nobody else will ask. How did you feel, Pat, when that son of a bitch told you that what you are doing, you should not do anymore? How was that feeling? I want to hear it.
It didn't bother me because I go through that with people all the time. Like, there are so many people that are Christianized. You know what I mean?
I said, I know what you mean. You take the high road. I understand. You're right because of the work that you're in. And we didn't begin to tell you what Rest of Pat does. But the work that you're doing, the spiritual work that you're doing, and the spiritual guidance work that you're doing, comes to you and it's a gift. And you know mm-hmm. there's 60% people out there going, I don't believe in this and everything. Can I get a reading? No, I don't believe in it at all. Can I get it next week?
You know, but a lot of these people won't get readings because they're that paranoid. Like, the only reason Mr. Solution let me do it is because he didn't believe in it until I did it. And then he thought I was from the CIA. So,
you scared them.
Oh, a damn tootin' I did.
You scared the living fuck out of him, and he's begging you to get out of it, and that's bad, and that's bad. The cards were not good for me. You know, the reason why people get possessed because they're bitches. Oh, I'm possessed because I'm a bitch. I'm sorry. Get out of here. I don't know why do people listen to me. And that's what Donald Trump does. We're going to take a little break right now. We're almost over this. I know you're listening to me. You know the deal. Pat's here. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. If you dare, don't be a pussy, because if you're a pussy, I'm going to jump all over you and probably have sex with you. Be a man. Be a man.
You keep threatening.
I keep threatening. They look like a pussy. I'm going to eat it. Either I'm going to eat them or I'm going to fuck them. So stand up. Oh, man. Brian for president. If you got a backbone, that's your man. And don't forget, we're going to talk about Ouija board after this. We're almost done with the Donald Trump thing. But I need to take a little break. I'm going to drink a little coffee. I'm tired of paying $7 for a gallon of gas. We'll be right back.
I think
remember what I said
was
in the beginning. I know. And remember what I said in the beginning of the show. You got to get angry. You got to get mad. You can't. Enough of this politeness. Enough of this bullshit, millennial bullshit, this ZX. We got to love everybody. And even if you don't love everybody, you got to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then chop off your penis and be a woman. No, no, no.
Oh, no.
You don't need to chop off your penis. You need to grow some bigger balls. That's what I say. You got to get angry. You got to get mean. Remember 9/11. Have you forgotten? Remember how angry we were at 9/11 and how the world saw us burn and how people died and the first responders came in and they did what they had to do, and now they are dying of cancer because of the cancerous material. To this day, they can hardly breathe and everything, but they went in. And remember how mad you were. You wanted to smoke a camel, and that's what they used to call the Arabs, camels. I'm not politically correct, because those sons of bitches, those Arabs, you know who was the one who did it, and we're still taking money from those sons of bitches who killed our people. Everybody knows it. What makes us weak. But remember those sons of bitches, and they think they got away with it because they gave us money, and we looked the other way, and this is what Trump does. You got to keep that anger, because Trump is a lot worse than 9/11. He already tried to kill our democracy by storming our Capitol, which was sacred. He wants to get rid of the Constitution. He's raping people in stores. And then calling them whores if they speak up to you. Who wants to take down NBC, who frauded the United States. Even in his thing, I can't believe it. You guys, you can't be that stupid. Even in his little mega thing, he says, let's make America great again. Like we weren't great now? Because he's not happy the way it is? I didn't play the rest of this tape that you have that I have, but he does say this because it's a long one. He's up there talking to the auto workers, and he does say this because I can't believe he's saying it. He says, you know, forget about the money. You guys don't need the money. He actually says this. You don't need the money. You don't need insurance. What you need is a vote for me. That's what you need. He actually says that in that speech. He doesn't care about your families or your money. He doesn't care about you making money. It's all about him. And you have to see this. You see something, you say something. You see this psychotic, this sociopath, deranged idiot, you see it, say something. The time of silence is gone. The election is coming. And this doesn't just affect us. It's going to affect all of our allies, and it will destroy Ukraine. And we will put your – and you think I'm joking? Once he destroys Ukraine – guess what's going to happen? We're going to put American soldiers on the ground. We're going to put our allies on the ground. That's what we're going to do. Putin's not going to stop there, and you're going to see our American men who are 17 years old, 18 years old, come home in a body bag. You're going to see Canadian women and men who are 17, 18 years old come home in a body bag. Our allies who don't want to be part of this world will have to come in because Trump says if you don't do it, we're going to take away your protection. They're going to jump in, and they're going to have all these people, our allies, they're going to come home in a body bag because this dotard thinks Putin is correct and wants to get rid of Ukraine. You see it. You got to get mad. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? We'll be right back.
I hear people say we don't need this war, but I say there's something worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? Took all the footage off my TV. Said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger, that's what the experts say. If it was up to me, I'd show it every day. Some say this country's just out looking for a fire. After 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and our people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside.
Don't forget what Donald Trump is saying. Don't forget it. Listen to what he is saying. Because what he is saying, when people are saying they would die for the UN state, they will. Body bugs galore. Not only in this country, but our allies too. All because of a psychopath, moronic bitch, bone spurs Donald Trump. I'm serious. If you hear it, say something. That's all you have to do. Better yet, vote. It's time to take back this country. No more. It's time to take it back. And our allies, we're with you. Like I said, you may see Biden confused a little bit. It's okay. He's reading a teleprompter. He'll get back. But when you got a demented psychopath killer who's a coward, who will overthrow your own government, who said that your chief, your staff chief, General Miley, should be executed, who said he's going to go after NBC, CBS, and all the other stations because they said something bad about him. Who does this remind you of? Putin? Yeah, you're damn right it does. He probably jacks off to Pootie. You see it. You fucking see it. Fucking
well,
say.
Trump would be the worst thing possible for the world at this point.
Yes, it's exactly what I'm saying. This is not a U.S. thing anymore. This will affect our allies, our treaties. You just heard them. They got to pay for protection. If they don't pay for protection, we're going to remove all our troops. That's not how we run our country. Here's a little bit more of this guy. Just a little bit.
Larger than the Reagan tax cuts. And we'll do it again. We'll deliver tax cuts, the likes of which you've never seen before.
Yeah, because we never seen them
make
before.
More money and have a more secure job than you've ever had before. Best of all, they will be fully paid for by outsourcers and foreign producers who will be paying trillions and trillions of dollars into our treasury.
Sure. The foreign people, Canada and all of our allies, will pay trillions and trillions of dollars to us. Just like we built a wall, miles and miles, and Mexico will pay for it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
For the privilege of doing business in the United States of America. Isn't that nice? Going to get rid of a big portion of our deficit, too. We're going to tariff and tax them, and you, the American worker, will be the primary beneficiary. And in conclusion, I don't need to tell anyone in this room what the globalist and trade abusers did to the people of Michigan. You've seen the lives wrecked. You've seen your family destroyed. In many cases, the families have been shattered and the communities battered, brutalized, destroyed economically and by crime. But my message to you tonight is that Michigan's abuse under Joe Biden will end, and I will take you to new heights never dreamed of before, never even dreamed of.
Spoken as four-time indicted, twice impeached, one-term buffoon. And again, just judge threw him out and sanctioned his lawyers for being an idiot, that they're going to lose their law license for bringing them stupid arguments. And fraud. So, yeah, this guy's going to take care of you. This guy's going to take care of your children and your grandchildren because he's going to leave the debt for them to pay. This is a guy that can protect you from COVID because he wants you to drink some bleach. If you see something,
yeah, that
hear
was
something,
crazy.
Yeah, say it. Say it. Or have you forgotten? You got to get just as angry, because when I compare him to 9/11, and some people go, oh, Brian, we're not comparing him. He is worse. At least 9/11, we can rebuild. We can bury. We can mourn. And we can fight. But when we have an enemy within that's running our government and taking control of our military and taking control of our law enforcement with the DOJ and taking control of everything, it's going to be almost like, Brendan, the only way you can fight is do a revolution. Because what he's going to do is going to be a lot worse than 9/11, what he's going to do. And you already see what's happening with him with the Republicans. They won't go against him. They're pussies. These are your lawmakers who are pussies, just nothing but pussies. because they're afraid he's going to go after them. It, talk to anybody. I'm afraid he's going to go after them. You're afraid he's going to go after them. You're a lawmaker, motherfucker. He's going to primary me. And this is what you want? You want some cowards in the White House who's afraid of this 77-year-old demented psychotic fuck? Put him out. It's time to take your country back. It's time to be mad. I can go on with this, but I promised other stuff. And I'm going to continue with this tomorrow about this fuckhead destroying the United States of America and leading you to hell. So if I still have time, I might come back, but I promised other people things we're going to do. And I'll do this you know, you're going to hear Linda Blair, the Ouija board. We want to talk about this. But there is one thing that I promised some of you men. Brian, when are you going to talk about relationships? If you have to ask me about relationship, you're probably not in one and you probably fucked it up. I can't help you. But it's true. Oh, I already X'd it out, I guess. I already X'd it out. These were 5 tips how women control men. It's only a... Let me see. Biggest moment is breaking down. Nope, I didn't even save it. Oh, boy. It's not important. You know, I don't like those shows. I can tell you 5 tips that women are doing to control you. And if you don't know that you're being controlled, then it's already too late. The tips are not going to help you. If you're with a conniving bitch, it's not. If you don't know, you're already a robot. You think all of a sudden I named 5 tips how women control men, that all of a sudden you think some man's going to go, oh, I didn't know that. You're already a goner. It's not going to help you. That's why I hate those shows. And there's no ending to it. Well, we're going to go, then I'll do another one, and 5 tips how men control women, and then 5 tips how children control their parents, and 5, it goes on and on and on. So I was going to read it. I don't know where it is. It was a quick one just to do a transition to the Ouija board and Linda Blair. It was just a – oh, here it is right here. Oh, I have it. All right, well – Jesus. All right, you morons. Stupid people. Here's tactics women use to control you. Men, if you don't know it, here it is.
Sneaky manipulation tactics women use to control you. Be aware. In any relationship, regardless of gender, it's essential to be aware of potential manipulative tactics that can occur. Manipulation can undermine the trust and foundation of a relationship, leading to emotional distress and dissatisfaction. While it is essential to avoid generalizations, some individuals may employ sneaky tactics to exert control or gain an advantage in their relationships. As the saying from the movie The Great Gatsby goes, one of the most isolating moments in a person's life is when they witness everything they hold dear crumbling before them, leaving them feeling helpless and numb. This poignant quote serves as a reminder that manipulation can leave victims feeling isolated and helpless as they struggle to comprehend the disintegration of their once cherished bond. In the literary and cinematic world, the character of Amy Dunn from Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl stands out as a master manipulator. With a chilling smile, she uttered, "Cool girls never get furious. They only smile in a chagrined, loving manner and let their men do whatever they like. Go ahead, shit on me. I don't mind. I'm the cool girl." This quote highlights the dangerous facade of being an agreeable partner to control others covertly. From the realm of famous personalities, we find wisdom in the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, who once said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." This quote reminds us that we have the power to recognize and stand against manipulative tactics that may undermine our self-worth and agency. In today's video, we shall discuss sneaky manipulation tactics women use to control you. Be aware. Tactic 5. Withdrawal method. In the intricate landscape of relationships, various tactics can be used. Regardless of gender, to create an emotional imbalance and gain control over the other person. One such tactic, often employed by women, is the withdrawal method. Women are skilled at making their partners worry about them. For instance, you might find yourself diligently texting her throughout the day, but suddenly, she appears distant and cold without offering any explanation. It's natural to assume that you must have done something wrong, triggering a sense of panic within you. However, in many cases, it's not your fault. This behavior is deliberately designed to get you to become more emotionally attached and clingy. As the saying goes, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Women use this tactic to their advantage, creating emotional distance to spark a stronger desire for their presence to control you. It's essential to recognize that healthy relationships are built on open and honest communication. If your partner's behavior leaves you feeling confused or anxious, have a candid conversation about your feelings and concerns. By addressing these tactics openly, you can foster a relationship established on mutual belief and understanding. Tactic 4, mirroring method. In the realm of relationships, manipulative tactics can be deployed by women. One such tactic is the mirroring method, often employed by narcissists and sociopaths. In this tactic, individuals imitate the qualities, traits, and preferences of their target, molding themselves into what they believe their partner desires. By mirroring body language, verbal and physical habits, attitudes, and tendencies, they create a false sense of connection, leading their partner to believe they've found the perfect match. As the saying goes, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. However, in this context,
I fell in that trap. This woman tried to mirror my ways and everything, and I had to leave her because she was an asshole, and I realized she was copying me. What the hell? What the hell?
I think that's what you're going to say.
Exactly. How dare you become more of an asshole than I was? How dare you?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Boy, well, let's continue. The sneaky manipulation tactics women use to control men. Here we go.
What about men controlling women? Did they not discuss that?
It's a strategic ploy
or
to lower your defenses.
If you're texting a girl you really like, but she's leaving.
So that was a form of flattery that lowers our defenses.
Establish an emotional bond, all while concealing their true intentions. They manipulate the relationship dynamic, making their partner believe they've found their dream woman, but beneath the surface lies a carefully crafted facade. Beware of the questions they ask early on, such as, what kind of woman do you like? These inquiries are designed to tailor their responses and behavior to align with your preferences, weaving an illusion of compatibility. However, authentic connections are built on honesty and shared values, not deceptive mimicry. Tactic 3, guilt-tripping method. In the intricate tapestry of relationships, women resort to manipulative tactics, including the guilt-tripping method. While sensitivity and idealism are admirable qualities, some individuals, regardless of gender, may exploit these traits to manipulate their partners emotionally. Guilt-tripping played a significant role in the downfall of any relationship. Imagine that sinking feeling when you sense something amiss in your relationship. Your girlfriend starts distancing herself, offering vague excuses, and displaying different behavior. When you muster the courage to address your concerns, she deflects and makes you feel like you're overthinking or being insecure. As a result, you find yourself immediately apologizing, even though your instincts were right all along. A famous saying by Paulo Coelho states, when someone leaves, it's because someone else is about to arrive. This sentiment rings true in situations where guilt...
Very true. Very true about most women. Not all. Most women. You know, guys are morons. When a woman basically wants, when she finally breaks from you, it does. It's not like it's right away. This takes months and years of planning. By the time she says to you, I am leaving you, A guy has no clue what is going on. He's not seeing the changes in her behavior. He doesn't care or whatever. But she's already gone. By the time she says bye-bye, and you're thinking like a fool that, well, we could fix this. And no, you don't understand. She's been going through this months and sometimes years. And you're thinking you just got the news 2 minutes ago. She already made up her mind. She already went to every scenario possible. She already got her bank account covered. She already got her house covered. She already got the kids already packed and ready to go. And she already has Pablo, the pool boy, waiting for her. He's younger than you. He's skinnier than you. He's cuter than you. And his dick is harder than yours. She's there. So, like the guy says, and I like what he said. I got to go back. When somebody leaves, because there's somebody arriving, which is true. Which is true. We're almost done. Thank you. Which is, well,
I don't
true.
Agree with all of that.
You don't? Okay, my computer just paused on me. And that means I have to get rid of it. Oh, I don't want to because I set it up. Okay. Let me see what I can do here. Hold on. Go ahead, Pat. While I do this, tell me what you don't agree on that. When a woman is ready to leave a man, it's very rare that it's right at that moment. It's that she has thought about this for months, days,
I agree.
Years.
She had thought about it for a long time, and guys don't pay attention. They
mm-hmm.
don't pay attention to how bad things are before it goes bad.
Yes.
Like, you'll think the woman's just nagging, but it's not. They are fed up. And if guys ignore that, they're just asking for trouble.
Exactly.
I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
No, I think you're right. And I think during that time, the days, the weeks, the months, she has talked to everybody she can talk to that she trusts. Her girlfriends knows what they're going to do. Her parents know what they're going to do. She's starting to make decisions on her own without you. And by the time they actually confront you or tell you, that you don't have a chance in hell to get them back because Barry went through part of the breakup. Barry went through part of the breakup without you.
Yep. That's correct.
And guys don't understand that. So I like that phrase because it's so true. When someone's leaving, another person's arriving. Whether she connected with another person or not, and it's very rarely they'll move out their own and find themselves alone. There's usually that guy friend. That guy friend. You know what I mean?
You know, I never did that, Brian.
Oh, okay.
I always left and started new, and then things would go from there, right?
Okay.
Maybe I'm different. Maybe I just...
No, because I'm thinking before you broke up with this relationship, you have thought days about separating yourself from him. I'm sure you have taken...
Well,
you've
already said what you have to say. You know what I mean?
But,
you're told that you're being stupid or...
Right. Right. And
you know,
when
I
a woman is told they're being stupid
to the
or
fact
idiot
that...
or... Yeah. When a woman is being bombarded that they're stupid, they're crazy, they're idiot, get the fuck out, I hate the fuck who you are, you're ugly, you're fat, you're this, get away from me. You know, that resonates for a while. And you may think, okay, I'm going to make up to you, you do something nice, and she forgot about it. A woman does not forget about what you just said to her. And she can only
you know
take...
what my second husband did?
What?
He thought if we had a fight, if he went out and bought me something I wanted, the fight was over.
Right.
Oh, you never saw a guy gotten so much shit for buying a present in your life as when that happened.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you think you can buy me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I had one girlfriend that fell for this all the time because she was materialistic,
yeah.
And the only time her husband would buy her something is if he beat her up first.
Oh, yeah. And so I do believe I 100%. It rarely, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but rarely it happens that a woman could do this on her own and she moves on her own and she is alone. It's usually there's a, I don't want to say a spiritual guide, I don't want to use it that way, but there is somebody there guiding this person, you can do it, who's reaffirming to her that she's in a bad situation. And
that would be her mom and dad.
I say they're second. It'll be somebody, her peers. It'll be somebody she's talking to, somebody she likes. It'll be her guardian angel. She may be ashamed to talk to her mom and dad because her relationship has failed and she's thinking about a divorce and maybe they like him. So she's going to go with independent party who she just met at work, maybe, that has no ties to her family or to any of her other friends. And he's going to tell her how beautiful she is and this, you don't need to do this, and blah, blah, blah. And it gets to a point where he'll start saying, when she's thinking, well, maybe I should make up, and he's going to say, be strong, you don't need to do this anymore, you don't need to take it anymore. And what she's going to eventually do is not want to disappoint this guy. You know what I mean? This guy who has built her up, gave her good character, made her feel like she is a person again, and I'm not saying that lightly, and it gets to a point where she's not going to want to disappoint him because he's going to be more important what he thinks than her husband because her husband's calling her a fat pig, calling her a good-for-nothing, calling her ugly, calling her this, while this other guy is saying that is not true at all. So she's going to get to a point where she doesn't want to piss off this new guy. And that's what I'm saying, when one leaves, one is arriving, because it will get to that point. It's true. And we can role play this in a minute, and I'll show you how it plays out.
I don't know about this.
Really?
I don't know about this leaving for another guy consistently. No, I don't see
okay.
it.
Well, most
I just
women.
Don't.
Well, most women with social media will have some outside influences. Do you agree or not agree?
Oh yes, but not the way you're thinking. I think it's more parents and friends and.
Okay, friends can be your number one, too. I'll say friends, okay? And friends could be your number one enemy because they're going to say, good, you got out. And then she goes, great, I need my friends. Can you come over Friday night? Well, I'm busy. But she's going to get to a point where she doesn't want to disappoint her friends, and she'll go on. She'll go on and do and continue this, I got to leave. And maybe she doesn't want to leave, or maybe she's hesitant to leave, but she's going to do it because she doesn't want to disappoint her friends who went through this long. I'm going to give you an idea. I'll give you an idea. This happened to me. I'll give you an idea. I got hurt. I was with this beautiful woman and everything, okay? And we broke up, and I got hurt, really hurt. And it hurt. I go, what is this feeling? It's called hurt. Ow, it's hurt. I never want to get hurt again because I missed this girl. She was beautiful in every which way, okay? Bad fuck, but beautiful girl. Didn't want to get her hair messed up when you were having sex. Beautiful girl. Wear a hairnet just in case. So she breaks up with me.
Oh, my hair.
So she breaks up. She breaks up with me, right? I guess that. But she's a beautiful girl. You look at her going, oh, what a beautiful girl. I want to fuck your mouth. So it hurt. It hurt. She leaves. Hurt. I go, what is this feeling? It's hurt. And it was not so much I wanted her back because she was a bitch. But what it was is that I didn't want
any other man to be banging that girl. You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, so it was more of an obsession of, I don't want her, but I don't want anybody else to want her. You know? I spent a lot of time, you know, stretching that pussy out. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of work. Yeah, this is Sex Talk with Brian.
Well, sweetheart.
Yeah.
The thing is, when women have had enough, they usually do tell. They do complain.
They, not to me, but apparently to other people. And so I'm being an ass. Yeah, I'm being an asshole like I am, like I tend to do. And then one night she says, you know what? This is not working out. I go, what's not working out? You're not making dinner right now? It's 5 o'clock. You should be on. She goes, no, not that. I go, am I going to eat? She goes, yeah. I go, okay, good. I had to eat. I was hungry. But you're not listening to me, Brian. I go, what? What did he say? I want to leave. I went out. You went what? I went out. I go, and this is how it went. When I met you, you were a struggling model. I taught you how to look. I taught you the makeup. My makeup artist worked with you. I taught you how to talk. I taught you how to read lines. I taught you how to do this. You would have been a waitress if it wasn't. It was that song, Don't You Want Me, Baby. Remember that song? It's almost like a documentary to me. Remember that song? It was almost a documentary. It's like, oh, that's my life, and you're ruining my life. I go, you got the nerve? I go, don't you know who I am? She goes, yeah, you're an asshole. I go, besides that, I'm Brian. She goes, yes, my fucking name is up on a billboard in Beverly Hills. Yeah, I got people like blah, 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 blah. I'm invited to this party, blah, blah. Yes, yes, yes. Deal. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get? This is actually a true story. This is, and I usually don't tell, you're going to be surprised. This is actually a true story, and I usually don't tell these true stories. Who do you get better than me? She goes, and women will do this. And they do this because they don't want you to be a stalker. I don't want to date anybody. I just want to get into myself. What they're really saying is, oh, I got some guy I've been sucking his dick for a while, and you just didn't even notice the taste when you kissed me. That's basically what they're saying. Ew, I knew it was salty. But
never mind. Where do you come up with this stuff?
I don't know. There's something wrong with me. So it's like, go. I don't need you. I think so. I need my meds. It's like, oh, I don't need you. I'm Brian. Okay, I'm going to go. Well, go. Now, she planned this, right? She'll be back. Day come by. Yeah, she'll be back. Week go by. Yeah, she probably misses me now. Month go by. Oh, she's probably horny right now, and she's going to, you know, she'll just come by because she wants to, you know, just fuck because she's horny right now because she told me there was nobody else in her life. 3 months go by. True story. 3 months go by. I finally get a friend of hers who was an actress. Says, oh, have you seen so-and-so? I go, no, I haven't seen so-and-so. Well, this is her new cell. I go, new cell, lady? I didn't get no notification. She had a new cell. Meanwhile, I did not call her because, you know, I don't want to sound needy. So I called it. Hi, Brian, how you doing? Oh, and she was all happy and everything. She wasn't depressed. She wasn't thinking about suicide, which I wanted her to do. It's all true story. So I called her. Hi, Brian, how you doing? I can't really talk now. I'm in a meeting. I go, you're in a meeting. What kind of meeting are you in? And then I hear this voice. This is absolutely true story. Then I hear the voice. Who's on the phone? I go, there's a guy there. I'm going to kick his ass. Oh, Brian, calm down. No. There's going to be some ass kicking going on. Let me talk to the motherfucker. He's a coward. He doesn't want to talk to me, does he? Because he knows who I am. He's a coward, isn't he? No, Brian, he's not a cop. Oh, let me talk to Brian. True story. He gets on the phone.
It's your brother?
Hello? You'd be surprised. Hello? And he goes, hello. I go, listen, you motherfucker. I know you're banging my girl. That's how you like my leftovers. How you like my leftovers, huh? And he says, this is a nice girl. I go, oh, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up, you pussy. And then I hear her say, Quentin, give me the phone. He goes, here, I can't talk to this guy. I go, Quentin. He goes, yeah, you just talked to Quentin Tarantino. And he called him a pussy. I said, you're dating Quentin Tarantino? Yes. Oh. Tell him I said, hey. Hung up the phone. True story. She's dating Quentin Tarantino. So I said, okay, that's it. That's it. I'm not dating beautiful women. Beautiful women are killers. Not dating beautiful women anymore. I'm decided to go ugly. I'm going ugly. Ugly women cannot hurt me. They're ugly. I mean, what's the worst can happen to you? An ugly woman says, I'm leaving. I go, good. Come on. You know, ugly women are good. They're good in bed because there's nobody else will touch them. It's all good. I did the math and ugly. So I went out to find the ugliest girl I could. In Hollywood, it was pretty easy. And as you can imagine, it was doggy style all the way. If I wanted a threesome,
oh,
I put a mirror in front of her. I put a mirror in front of her face going, hey, look at that, threesome. Well, eventually I didn't treat her right. And this is what happened. I come home work one day from 12 o'clock, and I see I got five guys in my place, in my apartment, and they're cleaning the apartment out. I thought they were burglars. And she was, and the ugly girl was telling them what to take and what not to take. I just come home. I thought everything was fine. Well, I did not take the clue when she locked the bedroom door and I couldn't get in the bedroom. I just thought she was mad. I mean, it was 2 months and I still got, who put a lock on a bedroom door? I don't want you in it. Oh, okay. So I come home and they're taking out shit. I go, what the fuck is going on? Oh, I'm leaving you. What do you mean you're leaving me? You can't leave me. You're ugly. Look at me. This is another true story.
Nobody tried that.
She goes, well, these are my friends. These are my friends, and they're taking things out. There was a picture, beautiful picture. It's like almost it's a huge-ass picture of me behind the scenes working in production and a picture of her. And then one of the gay guys goes, oh, is that you? Are you in the movie? I go, keep moving, butt boy. So they're moving her furniture out. I didn't know it until I came home. Her plan was by the time I got home around 7, which I usually do, she would already be gone, but I came home. And I said, where are you going? She goes, I found a place, and I'm moving out, and I'm leaving you. I go, you can't be serious. So she goes. She goes to that place. It was raining that day. Phone rings 3 hours later. She goes, I realize I'm in my place and I don't have any food. I go, too bad. She goes, can you order a pizza for us? I go, for you, us? That was a girlfriend. And then she goes, can this is all true story. She goes, and can you bring it to me? Okay, and it's raining out there. I'm up like a fool. I ordered a good pizza. I figured it was a pizza I want to. I go in. I give it a little bang, bang, bang. She remembers how marvelous I am and what amazing lover I am. She'll come running back and
she
I'll
had
make her
other
bed
people
for me.
There, didn't she?
She had 6 and 7 people in togas and in towels, half dressed, running around. You know, woohoo! I looked in there. I'm going, what the fuck? She has in the door in her towel. What the f-? And towel. Kyle Berry calling me half that ugly nipple. What the fuck? She opened the door slightly, and I said, can I come in? It's raining. I'm rain's pouring right down my face. She goes, I go, can I come in? It's raining. She goes, no, they don't like you. She took the pizza, and I had to drive home.
What?
True story.
Are you for real?
I am telling you the truth. So I'm standing out there in the rain, knocking
disgusting.
On the door. Yeah. I'm standing in the rain, knocking on the door. I go, can I come in a little bit? It's storming out here. No, they don't like you. They moved from you. Go away. But I gave you two pizzas. It cost like $45 at that time. Go away. See, you're already starting to trouble. This is why they don't like you. You know, here's where you get it, right? Here's where you get it. This is why I left you, because you don't understand. When you don't listen to me, and you don't tell me when I tell you to go away, you don't even listen to me. You always want to be forward. You always want to be aggressive, and this is why, you know what I mean? This is why, my friend, you get the ride act, right? I didn't want to make a scene. I get in the car, and I drove home. My sister calls, and I told her what happened. She goes, "You let an ugly girl do that to you?" She's ugly. I go, "I know, right?" And I'm mad.
What
next
does that
day she
have
calls
to
me.
Do with anything?
It had a lot to do with it, because I'm so shallow. So the next day, she calls me. The next morning, it was a Sunday. Brian, I go, "Yeah." She goes, I forgot when I moved in here, there's no food in the refrigerator. And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Let's go shopping together." Sure, let's go shopping. So I'm thinking, okay, she had lapse of memory. She comes over. We go shopping. She's loading up her cart. There's steak in there, potato, whatever, fruit, you know, just extravagant. She loaded up that fucking cart. Of course, I'm paying for it, of course. You know that. And she'll be in the line. And I said, I got some scotch. I said, "Let me put this in the cart. I'm paying for this, right?" She's in line. She goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Well, I figured, you know, what you bought and everything, you're going to make dinner, and I'd like to have some scotch. Would you mind if I put some scotch?" "Oh, you're not coming over." I go, "What?" "Oh, no. This is for me. I can't have you," and then we went to the thing. "I can't have you come over because it's too soon. You hurt me so much. I need some time. I want some space. Not right now. Maybe a week or two." I'm in line.
That's when you
shit.
Know it's over, honey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't have to hit me twice. And I said this. I said, "Oh, okay, that's how it's going to be? Yeah, you know how it is. But maybe I'll call you." We're still in line, right? I go, "Okay." I go, "You know what I forgot? I forgot my card." She goes, "Yeah, I noticed you didn't get anything. You may need to put your scotch in there." Okay, that's fine. So I come with my card. I put the scotch in. And I loaded it up. When I say loaded up, I put 6 boxes of condoms in there. Big-ass condoms, every kind of condoms, lube condoms, skin condoms, lamb skins, whatever, they're loaded in there. And I put the scotch in there. I put lotion in there, Rub Hub, whatever you can, I'm putting in there. Massage oil, that's in there. I pull up behind her. She looks at the cart, and she goes, "Oh, my God." I go, "You're right. I forgot 2 steaks." So I go in and put 2 steaks in. She goes, "Oh, my God, really? Really? You're going to really do this?" I go, "What are you talking about? You put condoms in your cart." I go, "Yeah, you noticed that? I ran out." "Oh, my God, really? You're going to really do this to me? You're going to really get me upset in front of the store? You're going to really do this?" That kind of guilt, right?
When she's taking you to the cleaner, she's
yes.
saying this?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Lordy.
And so it was that, "Oh, you're going to make me get upset in the store. You're going to make me cry and everybody's going to look at you. Are you really going to put that in my face?" I said, "You won't even let me come in when it was raining. Well, my friends don't like you. You won't even fix dinner for me when I'm buying this food. Well, I need time." "Oh, okay. I'll give you time."
Bull.
I said, "Excuse." So I said, "Excuse me." This is all true, what really happened. I go, "Excuse me." She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Let me get in front of you and pay for my stuff first, and then I'll pay for your stuff so I can put it on my card." She goes, "Oh, okay, good idea. Pay for my stuff. Thank you, sir." And then I told the lady, "Ring it up, please." She goes, "Okay." So she's ringing it up. And all of a sudden, she sees me starting to walk out the door. She goes, "Brian, what are you going to do? Brian, where are you going?" "Oh, I tell you I got a date. My car's outside." And meanwhile, you're hearing boop, 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 you know, loading up her shit. I go, "See ya." And I smiled because I stand by the door, excused, and watching her put back the shit and embarrass her ass. Bye-bye. Exactly what happened.
Good one.
True story.
Good one.
And, you know, you could only take so much. And it goes back to this, and we're going to get into the Ouija board and give me a minute, but I have to do this. So these are manipulations. So I go with what he says, and I have to believe it's not the norm. You got pretty girls like you, you know, Pat, and it's not absolute. But majority of the time, there's some person, whether it's a friend, and it's usually a guy friend. If girlfriends can be shaky because they're jealous, and usually I'll fuck them. If it's like, girl, you should, and I've had that, girl, you should leave Brian. Yeah, you're right, girl. And meanwhile, I'm doggy styling her the next day, and it happened many times to get her out of the way so they can have sex with me. And I'll say, see, you're stupid. I'm teaching you a lesson. So when they say when somebody's outgoing and somebody's arriving, yes, I really believe that. Here we go. So we'll continue this. Yeah, we're almost done. Oh, it's a commercial. But that happens. But here we go. Let's continue this.
Surface lies a carefully crafted facade. Beware of the questions they ask early on, such as, what kind of woman do you like? These inquiries are verbal and physical habits, attitudes, and tendencies. They create a false sense of connection, leading their partner to believe they've found the perfect match. As the saying goes, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. However, in this context, mirroring is far from genuine admiration. It's a strategic ploy to lower your defenses and establish an emotional bond, all while concealing their true intentions. They manipulate the relationship dynamic, making their partner believe they've found their dream woman, but beneath the surface lies a carefully crafted facade. Beware of the questions they ask early on, such as, what kind of woman do you like? These inquiries are designed to tailor their responses and behavior to align with your preferences, weaving an illusion of compatibility. However, authentic connections are built on honesty and shared values, not deceptive mimicry. Tactic 3, guilt-tripping method. In the intricate tapestry of relationships, women resort to manipulative tactics, including the guilt-tripping method. While sensitivity and idealism are admirable qualities, some individuals, regardless of gender, may exploit these traits to manipulate their partners emotionally. Guilt-tripping played a significant role in the downfall of any relationship. Imagine that sinking feeling when you sense something amiss in your relationship. Your girlfriend starts distancing herself, offering vague excuses, and displaying different behavior. When you muster the courage to address your concerns, she deflects and makes you feel like you're overthinking or being insecure. As a result, you find yourself immediately apologizing, even though your instincts were right all along. A famous saying by Paulo Coelho states, when someone leaves, it's because someone else is about to arrive. This sentiment rings true in situations where guilt-tripping is used to cover up ulterior motives. Your partner may have been distracted by other activities or even involved with someone else, keeping you on the sidelines while manipulating your emotions to control you. Tactic 2, hot and cold method. In the intricate landscape of relationships, women resort to manipulative tactics, including the hot and cold method. This tactic involves fluctuating between intense emotional engagement and sudden withdrawal, creating confusion and uncertainty in the other person. Women use this tactic as a means of gaining power and control over their partner. Picture a scenario where the conversation is electric, filled with hours of passionate talk, endless texts and calls, making you believe that a deep connection is forming. However, suddenly and without warning, she goes silent, leaving you hanging and bewildered about what went wrong. Being aware of such tactics can help individuals navigate their relationships more consciously. By fostering honest communication and setting boundaries, you can cultivate connections founded on respect and emotional stability, where hot and cold mind games hold no sway. Tactic 1, love bombing method. Love bombing method is a strategic and darker approach that aims to control the other person's emotions. Love bombing entails showering the target with excessive compliments and flattery, creating an intense whirlwind of emotions to make them feel like the perfect match and the most special person in the world. However, beneath the surface of affection lies a calculated plan to gain control. As the saying goes, love is patient, love is kind. Genuine love grows over time, and healthy relationships are built on trust and mutual understanding. Love bombing, on the other hand, is like a tempest coming in waves to overwhelm and engulf the other person. The constant flood of affection can make the target feel like they are falling head over heels, transforming them into a love-struck zombie. Beware of these intense displays of affection and evaluate the relationship's pace and authenticity. Healthy connections evolve naturally and allow both partners to maintain their individuality without feeling overwhelmed or consumed. Love should be a partnership of equals, not a one-sided pursuit. And that wraps up today's video. Like if you agree. Subscribe for more Sigma Male content. And we will see you guys next time with a new Sigma Male video. When a woman is using the Sigma Male, she'll do these fine things.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Brian.
I'm not immune.
Brian,
yes.
One question. Why aren't
yes.
you presenting the traps men put women into?
My girlfriend just said the same thing, Pat. As she passed by, she goes, I hope you're presenting the other side. She just said it 2 seconds ago. And here's what she said in her words. You don't, you better. Yeah, she did not like that at all. Fortunately,
well,
I don't have the other side. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have the other side. But I will find it and play it next time. Because like she says, if you don't, you better. Yikes!
Oh, boy. This is my show.
Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble with her.
I know. You know, I got some balls, but she has them in her hands, and she squeezes them when she wants to. It's Halloween, folks. It's Halloween. Ouija board. Everybody talks about the Ouija board. Oh, my God. Where did it come from? The ghost. Oh, don't play with it. Oh, my God. Transition. We're going to talk about the Ouija board, and we're going to talk about Linda Blair's interview about Exorcist 2. I am in talks. I'm trying to get Linda Blair. It looks good that I may interview her anyway. And we'll be right back. Why Pat makes some more cakes for her store, Patty Cakes. And I'm going to have another cup of coffee. I'll be right back.
We'll be right back in a minute. Love. Love is in the air. Love is beautiful. Women are beautiful. Relationships are beautiful. Sing it, Tina.
You must understand the touch of your hand makes my soul react. That it's only the thrill for me, girl, I possess the track. It's physical. You must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? They seem to you that I'm acting confused. When you're close to me, if I tend to look dazed, I read it someplace, I've got cause to be. There's a name for it, there's a phrase that's it. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?
Rest in peace, Tina. Rest in peace, Tina. You are a punching bag for another man. Rest in peace. There you go. There's going to be a documentary I'm going to put up there, and I'll make it right now, called Ike, the Misunderstood Man, who was Tina Turner's Ike and Tina. He kind of misunderstood. He's hated by everyone. Let's get into the mood right now.
Is she still alive?
No, she died. Ike?
Yeah.
No, Ike died about maybe 4 years ago. And I think Tina died, whether it was last year or earlier this year. I think it was last year that she died.
2 years ago, honey.
But I have a thing of how people think about Ike, and I have it coming up in a podcast. You're going to be surprised. You're going to like it.
Hi-oh!
Thank you, Ed McMahon. Yes, you will. Here we go. Are you afraid of bumping in the night and you're not the one doing the bumping? Are ghosts running around your house just doing what they want to do and you don't do anything about it? Are you scared if somebody go boo and there's nobody there? Sometimes when you're doing things, you hear voices and they call you, your name is being called, and you turn around going, what? And you thought somebody called you. Yeah. Is your TV at the 2:45 at the same time every day, you're hearing knocking? Do you hear it? Do sometimes you go to the bathroom and you see a glimpse of some kind of shadowy figure, and then you shut the door going, let me know when you're done? Do you?
That's when you get somebody in to clean the place.
Yes. Do you believe in ghosts?
Really,
because
Brian,
ghosts believe. Yeah. Do you believe in ghosts?
Really,
because ghosts,
Brian,
believe in.
You need somebody to clean it.
You sure do. And we're going to talk about cleaning the ghosts. Because what do? Do you watch Ghostbusters and think it's just some kind of weird show and a funny show? No, there's actual people who are cleaners. Hitmen.
I do it.
For the spiritual world. We happen to have
one
here.
Yes, but that's one of the things I do, Brian.
That's right. And I do know that. Halloween is coming. It comes once a year like me. Wait for it. Thank you.
Once a year, eh?
Once a year, and what a year.
That's why you're looking forward to Halloween, is it?
I sure am. I hope I don't have pre-Halloween. I hope I don't come on Halloween the 30th. But anyway.
31st, honey.
I know, but I might get so excited that it might. Oops! damn it. 8 more hours would have had it. But what do? You think you don't know, tell your friends that you got a ghost in your house, and if you do tell your friends you have a ghost in the house, they may think you're crazy. They're going to go, well, shit, let me have some of the shit that you're smoking. And it turned out to be some good shit. Well, guess what? When you do have a ghost in your house, you can call a ghost hitman, a ghost cleaner, a ghost buster. Pat, tell people how you clean the houses if there's a spirit or entity there. Thank you.
Well, I know they're really pushing the sage thing right now, all the new age people, but I use dragon's blood. So it seems to work a lot better. You put dragon's blood is a tree in Africa, and you get the resin from it, and you burn it on a charkoal kind of... they have round charcoals they sell. So you burn it on that. And if you've got a really nasty spirit, I have other oils you add to it, which I've had explode on me walking into a room because somebody was really, you know, somebody was really evil in that house. So it was quite the explosion of stuff. We didn't get any on us, but yeah, that usually does it. But you have to go around to all the windows, doors, and mirrors too with dragon's blood oil. And you have to apply it because things can come through mirrors. And you should never have one mirror facing another. It's really bad. It can cause a vortex, which would invite things in. So if anybody in the listening audience has two mirrors facing each other, maybe they should move one.
Wow.
I had to take down a mirror off a vanity because it was facing a mirrored closet door. And we were having all kinds of problems up there.
So the two mirrors facing each other is like a portal for the entities?
Yes, it is.
Well, can't nice entities come through too?
Well, sure, but you're always going to get the crap ones.
That's true. It is an entity party.
So, you know,
wow.
you may have a good spirits in your house, and they're driven away by what pulls in from the mirrors, you know. So, but you can mitigate that with the dragon's blood, putting it in the corners of the mirror, in the corners of the window, in the corners of the door. You have to leave one exit when you're doing the incense for the spirits to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're finished, you anoint that door too or that window.
Now, where does the spirit go after you clean that house? Where do they go?
I told you before, it's neighbors.
I know, I laugh at it each time and I love it. I want to hear it in your voice. Where do they go?
The neighbors. No, they don't. They stay on the property. They're just not allowed in the house.
They go to the neighbors. Honey, what the hell's going on here?
If you're
Miss
in
Smiths
a building,
are at it again. Wow.
If you're in a building, that's very possible. Because the spirit is rooted to the property. So if you're in a building with many units, it could go upstairs, downstairs, just not your house.
Wow. That's something to give to the neighbors. We're going to get you. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And
hell of a gift, isn't it?
And this is the many talents of talking to Pat Oberlin and the many talents that she has in her life and the knowledge that she has in the spiritual world. And a lot of ghost stories that you see on TV or you hear, you read audio, so on and so forth, come from facts, actual truth. You know what makes a great lie? You got to have a little bit of truth in it to make a great lie. Something that somebody can that's true. And depending on how big the lie is, there's more truth that you got to put in it. And that's what makes a great lie.
Yeah.
So what makes a great horror film, audio book, there's some truth to it. That's what makes it so scary. That's what scares you. You're not going to be scared like, you know, you're on Mars and the alien on Mars in a red house come and get you. See, I was never afraid. See, this is where I'm going to be racial, but just bear with me for a minute. White people were more afraid of Jaws than black people. And you say, why? Because black people don't go to the beach. No shark's going to come off the beach, out the water, go through the sand,
you know, I don't think
get
I
in a
saw
car.
One black person in that show.
Exactly.
Maybe a couple of sacrificial lambs, but
exactly. That's what they did.
It was all
exactly.
White.
Exactly. We're not afraid of Jaws. We're not going near the beach. No beach is coming to Compton and Inglewood. No sharks coming here. Only you guys are going to them. And you go, well, how come black people don't go to beach and swim? We don't swim. Why don't you don't swim? Because the sharks are going to look at us like we're seals. We're black seals. Oh, look at that seal.
No. We're not going to be mistaken for seal food. Look at that guy. He looks like a seal. No. Not going to work. We're not going to be mistaken.
Yeah, a lot of those old movies were so white bread, it was ridiculous.
They were. And, you know, and if there was a black person or a brown person in that film, it was like a tester. They'll kill him and say, did it work? Okay, how do I change my tactics to kill the white people now? They were just kind of like, feeling my way around. So
they were sacrificial lambs.
They were. They were. You know, in the 70s, they had the horror films where the women, it was nothing but they're having sex. Remember the horror films? Women were having sex. They were topless. And usually when they have sex, see, horror films are very people don't understand how moral horror films are. You're not, they're close to almost a religious film. And people say, why? Because if you look at a horror film, the first person they kill is the slut. The girl who's going to bed with her boyfriend, and those are the last one who stays alive is the virgin, and usually the virgin will kill the evil one. In every horror film, the virginal girl will kill the monster.
That's every folklore fairy tale you've ever heard of. That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes. They will kill the slut who goes to bed first, and in this order, the slut will get it first, then the stoner, the druggie. He'll get it next. You know who's going to kill. There's the whole format of a horror film. Then the athlete who abuses women, who don't care only about himself, he'll get it next. And this is how it happens with every horror film. It's a moral thing. You never knew it. And the last person standing is usually the girl that goes, no, I'm innocent. She may be fucked up in the head, but she's a virgin. She's the one who's 5'2", weighs 98 pounds, that will take down Jason, who's 6'4", 350 pounds, and wearing a hockey mask when it's football season. She's the one who will kill the monster. And this is what horror films is about. Now, here's Linda Blair. Okay, well, first thing I'm going to play is, you know, the top 10 movies out right now is The New Exorcist. Is out with the two other girls. We tried to play it. We tried to play it before. I don't know how it plays.
It didn't play good.
It didn't play good? Okay.
No.
I have to play it, though. I have to play it. I'm
Is
sorry.
It just
I'm
too
try.
Much screaming and bullshit?
Well, yeah. I'm going to try to play this, and there's more talking in it. I think this is it. No, that's not. It's a different horror film. I'm sorry. I'll cut it short, but it goes with what we're going to do. Well, here's the latest Exorcist movie. And Linda Blair is going to talk about her playing the role. And the reason I'm playing Linda Blair is because, like I said, I'm trying to get her for an interview. It'll be very interesting, especially before Halloween. She's a busy lady. Well, here's the – and it's number one, believe it or not, at the box office. It's called The Exorcist, The Believer. Believer. Here it is.
Something back with him.
To make us lose faith.
But I believe you can help get our daughters back.
Kill it in us.
and the devil never gives up.
She knows who I am. Where's the other girl?
What you're doing here is dangerous. People have died on both sides of the mission.
Come on, baby. Come back to us, okay?
If you don't make it, I don't make it.
Mama.
What is it, baby?
I can't see you.
Baby, I'm right here.
I don't want to go to hell.
God played that trick on you.
There's two heartbeats. Is it working?
They're beating in sync.
Be strong.
Mama!
What did you do?
One girl lives, one girl dies.
You can choose.
There was a reference that a lot of people won't get when she goes, you want to talk to Reagan? And a lot of people won't believe it because Reagan was Linda Blair. That was her character.
Yep.
Reagan.
Yep.
Now, they're not going to get it again because the mother in this one, it was Reagan's mom who called the exorcist and got the kid to exorcist. So a lot of them are not going to know these little tidbits going on. It looks interesting, but that's the exorcist. Here's Linda Blair with regarding the exorcist interview. Here she is.
You're from Canada, right? The Canadian, oh yeah, you know the Canadians are different.
It's so popular. What is it, the Canadian people?
As far as the exorcist itself, the film, the novel was a work of art. It's a genius. But William Peter Blatty, who wrote the novel, had reasons to write the scariest film or book of all time and then make the scariest movie. And because he put all the right ingredients together, Billy Friedkin, who had just won the Academy Award for The French Connection, Ellen Burstyn, one of the most amazing, extraordinary actresses of all time, Max von Sydow, Jason Miller, and when you hear all the different stories of how they became involved with the project, you take all these ingredients, plus the best cinematographer, Owen Roizman, plus the best special effects people, Marcel Vauquetier, that created things that had never been done before. And the search to find me, you know, for Reagan was, I was a working child actor in New York. I'm from Connecticut. And we were raised, if you work in the business in New York, you do modeling or commercials or whatever you may do, small movies, you then leave your work at home and you sort of have two lives. You don't talk about your work. And I wanted to be a veterinarian. So I was this really normal child that was a professional. So to find sort of like I was raised, they wanted me to be in the Disney movies. Give you room to cut on the laughing. It's okay. They wanted me to be in the Disney film. I know, but you can't. You can try. He's talking. We'll pretend.
So they wanted you to be a Disney character?
Mm-hmm. And you good? So they wanted me to be in the Disney film. My father made a decision for me not to come out to California, and I was sort of heartbroken, so I said, I really want to apply myself to my education, my schooling, to become a veterinarian. So when the movie came along, it was like, you would interview for movies. You would interview for different things. Nothing ever happened, even if you did the job. I'd done other movies and soap operas and things, and nothing happened. So I wouldn't know anything. I had no baseline to know any different. While we were making the film, you know, it was very difficult, obviously, for a child to do a film, especially because I was not interested in the subject matter. It was an adult subject matter. And it's about religion, and of course I have all this makeup on. I don't understand what they're doing. You've got all these special effects that have never been done. You have even the dummy, for instance, where the head spins. I do part of it. The dummy does the rest of it. I come back to it. It's very technical, all the levitation and the different things. So I was not able to put anything together that had continuity. I didn't understand, and I gave up about a year into it, seriously. And so a year and a half later, and then you start to see bits and pieces when you add your soundtrack, your voiceover. So you're working on the different, to correct, you know, noises or problems, to make the sound crisp, to change. Of course, Mercedes McCambridge is one of the main part of the voice, but it's my voice in there. It's Billy Freakins. It's a lot of things, and it's manipulated through the soundboard. That's not the right terminology, but it's electronically manipulated. So it's really not one voice, even though people think so. So when the movie came out, I realized that it was an extraordinary film and this was going to change my life. But I could not even understand to what level. Nor could Warner Brothers, nor could the journalists, nor could the public. So back then, it was...
And because of time restraint, we're going to continue that interview tomorrow. But something more interests me about Linda Blair, and I did not know it. Linda Blair was in hip hop, and not more just in hip hop. Linda Blair dated Rick James. You guys remember Rick James?
Get out.
Yeah. It's like, what? So she goes on a hip-hop show. She goes on a hip, and some of you guys don't remember who Rick James is. I'm not going to play the whole song. Don't worry.
I thought that was somebody else.
James. Now, coincidence.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to believe this. My phone, when it rings, what is it, phone dial or phone sound or whatever when your phone rings?
Yeah.
It plays it like, I don't know if you can call me. And this is how my phone sounds. You would have to call me, though. I don't know if you can. Let me call in the studio. And you'll hear my phone when it rings. It's kind of funny. So that's my tone, my ringtone. What is my number? Let me see.
Super Freak is your ringtone?
Yes. Like I'm calling me. Wait. Okay, hold on. Okay. Hold on. Okay, I'm going to try calling my house, but I don't know if you can hear it. Okay, I'm calling my house from the studio. Listen to this. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I know what I did wrong. Hold on. Okay, we're going to... Hold on. Wait, hold on. All right, hold on. I know what I did. Because I turned my phone off when I'm on the air. Hold on. Let me turn my phone on. So when people call me... Okay. So when people call me, yeah. So when I'm gonna call my house. So when you call, so it's funny because you called me that one time, right? So I'm saying, and okay, yeah. here's Pat calling me, wondering if the show is. So I'm gonna call my house from the studio, and this is what I hear.
Wow, it won't play.
Let me do it, Brian.
It's playing in the studio. Okay. Oh, I'm not hearing the dial tone. Not hearing the dial tone.
Okay.
Well, I'm not hearing it. But if you have another phone and when you're on this one, if you called me, you would hear it. But here's how it sounds. Somebody's calling me, and this is my ringtone. Here it is. Wait a minute.
Come on, play all the way.
It's because you wanted it to.
Well, something's wrong with my phone, but it plays all the way. I don't know why it's not playing all the way, but that's my ringtone. That's my ringtone.
Good to know.
and it plays up. It plays a long time. I could be in a store. Well, I can't call. Damn it, I wish I could call. It's not working in the studio. But it plays for a while, and it actually hears, she's a very kinky girl, and you hear that from my phone. People are going to start going, what the hell's going on here? And I'm trying to turn it off and hanging out to where it's going out. The time you won't take home the mother, and I'm going, oh, shit. But, yeah, I have that as my ringtone.
So you have that as your ringtone, and you've been with somebody for 20-something years, eh?
She's a super freak too. God, it's 4 minutes. Pat, I screwed up. I was supposed to talk about the Ouija board. I got to do it really quickly. Here we
it's
go.
Okay.
No, I'm going to talk really fast. Okay, here's what the Ouija board is called. It's O-U-I-G-A, it's Ouija, also known as a spirit board. It's a talking board or a witch board. It is a flat board marked with letters like with Latin alphabet. The number is 0 to 9. The words mean, it says yes, 0 to 9. The words yes, no, occasionally hello and goodbye.
No. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Along with various symbols and graphics, it used a small heart-shaped piece of wood or plastic. It's that's movable and it can. Okay. Let's see if I can get into it. And it moved about the board to spell out words. Ouija is a trademark of Hasbro and inherited from Parker Brothers. So who did Twister? Now Hasbro bought it. It's a spiritualist in the United States believed that the dead were able to contact the living and reportedly used a talking board very, very similar to the modern Ouija board at their camps in the U.S. state of Ohio in 1886 to contact the spirits.
The actual Ouija board was developed by psychologists back in the 60s or 50s.
Wow.
But it does actually use spirits. It doesn't use the power of the people running it. It uses spirits. And that's why I don't like it.
Yeah, I understand. And we're gonna and we
you can do a pendulum board, the same thing. Mm-hmm. A pendulum board can show you the letters and the various things. But you're using it with your own power.
Right.
A Ouija board is spirit driven.
Yes, it says here by Catholics. We're gonna run out of time. My bad. And we're going to continue the Ouija board, the history of the Ouija board tomorrow. And we're going to go into another subject. It won't just be politics tomorrow. We're going to get into other subjects. It's Halloween and possession and ghosts and stuff and spiritual stuff and astrology tomorrow, the pros and the cons. And we'll continue with 5 traits that men control women with, since we had the women control men.
Second.
And Linda Blair, we'll have another interview with her, which is, oh,
when she, I don't think I have enough time. We'll hear Linda Blair when she dated Rick James. You're going to love that one. That's tomorrow, too, because it's Halloween. All right, folks. Pat, please tell everybody, we got 1 minute, how to reach you on your website, please.
SpiritualNiagara.ca, members directory.
There you go.
I'm there.
And what do you do? And what do you do there, Pat?
I do house parties with mostly tarot readings. I clean houses. I clean spirits out of houses.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. People can contact me. I will talk to them. You know, it's a business. So.
And she's good.
People have to expect it that way.
And she's well known in the business on her side job as. She's a very kinky girl. Yes, the kind of psychic you don't take home to mother.
She's a
thank
very
you, everybody.
Kinky girl.
I just want to say thank you, Pat, for coming on the show, you sexy psychic you.
You're welcome, dear.
And tell John I said hello. And I think we had a good show today. What do you think? I think we had a good show. We had a good show.
Yeah, but I could do without Trump tomorrow.
I know. We are. We're going to take a Trump break. We just had the debate today. And don't forget, the show was sponsored by Pat Oberlin's Bakery, home of patty cakes. Specialty is devil food. Her gummies are yummy.
You are going to make people believe it.
Oh, yeah, her cupcakes are spiritual. Go to Pat Oberlin's Bakery. Get the devil food cake. I dare you. And don't forget her website. I know that a lot of people listen to me. I see you guys, and I know you won't admit it, but I see you. So give Pat a little hello and say hello. And if you mention my name, she'll charge you more. So pretend you don't know me. Thank you.
I would not.
Thank you, Pat. Say hello to John. And I will be on tomorrow. Tomorrow is what? Friday? I'll be on tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to make it.
Because I have.
I know, baby.
I have somebody coming too, so.
Okay. I'll try to make it 7:30 my time. That's 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30 your time, Pat. It's a date.
You okay?
It's a date. I promise, it's a date. You know why it's a date? Because you are a very, very naughty, naughty witch. She's a very naughty witch. The kind of you don't take home to mother.
She's a very kinky girl.
Thank you, Pat.
The kind you don't take home to mother.
All right, everybody.
You're welcome.
She will never let your spirit down. Once you get her off the street.
Oh, girl.
Thank you.